Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And this is the best show. Hi, I'm Jason Gore, otherwise known as Dudio.
This is the New Jersey part, but we're going to go to L.A. shortly.
We are going to go to L.A. shortly. Tom's going to have some great surprises on the show tonight. We are connected with L.A. We're just waiting for him to get into the studio.
And then we're going to do a nice little toss-up.
We'll do a nice little... What does a toss-up mean?
Toss-over.
Toss-over. It's a handover.
It's a baton...
No, it's a...
Pass.
Oh, what, like this is a marathon?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
It's a Tuesday night marathon.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
It's the best show. 201-332-3484. Mike is already yelling at people on the phone, so that's how you talk to Mike. 201-332-3484. We will hear from Tom very soon. Best show. Some music, fill some time here. What did we just hear there, Pat?
For back announcing, we heard Spray Paint. Last track was Friendly Moving Man at side A on a 7-inch they put out on 12XU.
Nice.
The great Spray Paint.
Before that, we heard your boy
Mike Kroll.
Yeah. Power Chords.
Little Drama was a track. Great track on his latest Merge Records effort that is the album, fourth album by Mike Kroll, called
Power Chords.
Power Chords, yeah.
It's a good record.
Yeah.
A hell of a record.
Great record. I think it's his best.
Yeah. Before that, we heard the latest from Guided by Voices from their new album, Warp and Woof. I think that's their second double album this year.
Another great album.
Yeah. Cohesive Scoops. Really dig that record.
It's crazy that you're saying... Second double album this year.
Zeppelin Over China was a double album. I'm pretty positive.
We're 6 months into 2019.
I know. Yeah. Two double albums.
Did you go to that White Eagles show?
I did not go to the White Eagle show. The last time I saw them, they played at the Celebrate Brooklyn thing at Industry City that they're doing again in September. I'm going to try to go to that one, too.
I have not seen them in a proper concert.
Really?
No.
You've never seen GBV?
I saw them as a audience member of a television show.
Which show?
Conan.
Oh, okay.
He was still in New York. Yeah.
What lineup was that? What did they play?
That was their last tour ever, using air quotes here.
Okay.
Yeah, when it was like 2004 or something.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, it is the best show. We are waiting, awaiting the connection from L.A. to go live with Tom. And some special guests or special guests tonight. But myself, Dudio, Pat's here. Mike is yelling at people in the other room. You can,
get yelled at.
You can.
201 dead hug.
You can bear that wrath at, 201-332-3484. What'd you say, Mike? One line open. You can be.
And as soon as it's full, guess what? He's coming in here.
Apparently there's some jokers calling from a bar tonight. Giving Mike the business.
Yeah. Yeah. We got, it's like a modern day tube bar.
Yeah.
Which actually, well, no, I won't say that. Never mind.
Okay.
I was about to.
Well, you said it.
Well,
are we going to have to edit this out?
No, I'll explain why I bit my tongue later.
Okay. Okay. How are things with you?
Things are good. Good week so far.
Good week so far?
Yeah.
And you're getting ready to go to San Fran.
Yes. Which I found out that, oops.
Are you not supposed to say?
No, it sounded like everything stopped, but my headphones popped
out. Oh, okay. I thought we released the secret.
No, but yeah, I'll be at Clusterfest, not performing, but hanging
but
out.
But hanging out.
Yes.
Sometimes that's better than performing.
You know? Last year was a blast. Coming back for more. Anyone going to Clusterfest, you can
find Pat Byrne.
You can see me. You can see the beautiful Mindy Tucker taking photographs.
You're going to get points for that one.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Hey.
Hey, and also speaking of performing.
That's right. Should we just plug it right
here?
We
should just plug it right here.
Let's do it.
July 7th, Pat and I are back in Brooklyn, New York. So it's come to this.
Yes.
Union Hall.
Our Union Hall debut.
Now, if you came to the previous Brooklyn show, you know, there's going to be some changes in this show.
For sure.
There's going to be some new stuff.
I'm happy to report there's going to be new stuff for me, too, as of this week.
Yes. See? So there's going to be, it's not even like you're seeing the same show.
Yeah.
And there's going to be special guests. It's going to be a great time. It's Sunday, July 7th. So it's come to this.
7-7.
7-7. You know, it's at the end of your July 4th weekend.
Yeah,
you
long,
can come
long
out.
Weekend.
We're going to have some really, really cool special guests. Real cool special guests.
It's the nightcap
cool.
of July 4th weekend.
The
Union
coolest
Hall.
Song in the world.
Yes.
So it'll be a good time.
And you never know who's going to show.
<All right. laughs> Who's going to show. So let's go ahead and take some calls. Mike, you want to hop in here? Mike doesn't want to do this.
That means we're
he doesn't
want to
bear the wrath of, like, you know, people online saying, "Oh man, these fill-in shows are crap. These shows are crap." Mike doesn't want to get
be a tinge of that. Yeah,
yeah. He doesn't want to get yelled at on a bulletin board. Okay,
who we got?
Okay, all right. Thanks, Mike. Okay, so let's see who we got here. Best show.
Hey, Tom, it's Ethan in West Philly.
This is actually not Tom yet.
This is Jason and Pat. Hold on a second.
Hey, is this Dudio?
Yes, it's Dudio and Pat.
This is Dudio and Pat, and Tom could pop in at any second.
We're standing
now.
By for Mr. Sharpwin himself.
Any second. So who is this again?
Fantastic. This is Ethan in West Philly.
Ethan in West Philly. What's going on tonight?
Not too much. I got one for the topic. Is there a topic? Is there
open phones? Right now.
I think it's open phones right now, so any topic goes.
Okay.
So if you have a topic, that's the topic for this moment.
Okay. So custom topic tonight.
Yeah, what is it, Ethan?
Well, I thought maybe it was something about surprises based on the Twitter post. So I was going to say how I was watching the movie Jacob's Ladder last night.
Uh-huh.
I was surprised to see Jason Alexander in it.
You know, I completely forgot he was in. What did he play in that movie?
He's a lawyer, and he's very similar to George. The character is he's kind of anxious guy who
lives at home.
Angry. Yeah, you know, New York.
Oh, my God. Oh, good Lord. There it is.
It?
There he is. Yes. Tom, I just want to say we've been doing this fill-in, and Mike would not join us.
He wouldn't join you.
He refused.
He refused?
Yeah, he's saying he's doing the phones, but he doesn't want to get yelled at about a fill-in show on Facebook. That's really what this is all about, Tom.
I feel like we should do a clean start with Tom after...
Well, what were you guys talking about?
Well, we've got Ethan from Philly right now on the line.
Tom. Hi, Ethan. How are you?
I'm well. How are you tonight?
I'm good. Hey, Ethan, I'm in Los Angeles right now.
Oh, fantastic.
Any questions you want to ask me about that?
Well, I wanted to recount a movie viewing experience I had last night and also ask you a basketball-related question if I could.
Sure.
Okay, so last night for the first time I was watching the movie Jacob's Ladder.
Great movie.
And I was surprised to see Jason Alexander in it.
Why were you surprised? You knew he was an actor, right? That he
I had never seen him in anything other than Seinfeld and Curb.
You never saw Pretty Woman?
It's a little before my time, to be honest.
Sure. No, I understand that, too. Hey, what is your favorite Beatles song?
Julia.
Oh, cool. Well, that's one that was before your time, too. So, you were not born when that was written?
Yeah, also Jacob's Ladder was made before I was born.
Well, how old are you? 13?
I just had my bar mitzvah. No, I'm 24.
Okay. Well, happy birthday. What is the basketball question?
I was watching the 30 for 30 Pistons Bad Boys.
Mm-hmm.
And, I wanted to know if you've ever met Dennis Rodman, because he's so interesting to me.
No, I did see him on the rooftop of a hotel out here 2 years ago, though. He was in a bathing suit, and he was in maybe the greatest shape I've ever seen any human in my entire life.
What was he doing? Just
walking around the pool.
And you're sure it was Dennis Rodman?
Yes, I'm sure it was Dennis Rodman. It's not hard to know what Dennis Rodman looks like.
Was it All-Star Weekend? You and Dennis Rodman by the pool?
No, I was not hanging out with him. He walked by me.
You didn't hand him a towel or anything?
Why, actually, yes, I did hand him a towel. I did. I actually... And his back was wet, so I helped him with that a little bit, you know, because he's got very broad shoulders. And these towels were shockingly small, so I figured I'd pitch in. Dump this guy.
Dumped.
There he goes. Hey, so why don't we start the real show right now? Is that okay?
Yeah. Do you want to do a theme again, or?
Did you play it already?
Yeah, we're already in it.
We don't have to. The show's underway. I want to welcome my first guest to the show. This guy is one of the top funny people in the whole biz. I'm telling you. They call him the man of 1,001 voices. It's James Adomian.
Hi, how are you, Tom?
I'm good. How are you?
It's good.
It's good. Well, first of all, I'm going to do this.
Uh-oh. Oh, my God. He just greased my palm.
That's for coming on the show. That's how we do it on The Best Show.
You pay guests.
Yeah. And if you want half of this Snickers almond, you just tell me. You just say the word. You don't even have to say the word. Just help yourself.
Do I say the word Snickers?
You just jump on in.
Gimme! I'll take it.
Yeah, go ahead. First of all, let me thank everyone at Forever Dog for helping us out once again here in Los Angeles. We have Brett, right? Brett is out there. And Chelsea's out there. And you are Don't say it.
You're two for two.
Herbie.
You're Herbie, Herbie now.
Do you want me on mic to deal with my shame?
Sure. Come on, Herbie.
Name shame.
I could be Herbie for a second. How about for the rest of the week,
Ethan.
I'll be Herbie?
Claude.
Did I make this little of an impression?
No, you made a huge impression.
Whoa.
But what is your name again?
Alec.
Well, your name's not making
it's
much
not
of
good.
An impression. You need a name that matches you.
I was just complaining about my
Herbie.
Name
Herbie. That matches your persona. You're a Herbie.
Thanks.
Okay, Alec.
Yeah, I'll be Herbie.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Is
love having you in the studio.
WKRP in Cincinnati. Was there a Herbie character there?
There was a Herb Tarlick.
Herb.
He worked in sales, though. Remember, he wore the leisure suits.
Mm-hmm.
So we have James Adomian on the show right now. And this guy is a part of the Forever Dog Network, from what I've been told.
Yes. I'm a new young buck here at Forever Dog.
You finally,
this is my podcast.
You're throwing your hat in that podcast ring.
Mm-hmm.
What took you so long?
I get that.
What, your number? They finally, your number came up now?
Like, yeah. There was people don't know this. But in the podcasting industry, you have to take a number.
Yeah. It's like the draft when you got a high draft number.
You register for the podcast selective service.
Can you believe
when you're
that
18.
The draft? Imagine when they were just like, hey, we're going to draft based on your birthday. And that people had to watch on television them drawing birthdays to say, like, the first – people born on this day will be the first ones drafted, and they reach into a thing and they say, March 5th.
Jesus
and
Christ.
And people were sitting at home saying, like, oh, please don't say my birthday. I'm sure there were people saying at home, please say my birthday.
Please don't.
Those are little scarier people.
It would be great if they threw in a little astrological reading, too.
Like,
March 5th, Pisces, known for clear thinking.
Yes.
Empathy.
You will be wearing a backpack soon
the reading.
Yeah, the reading is like, I see you marching a fair amount very soon. So your podcast, James, is called
The Underculture.
The Underculture. And you're only like 6 episodes in? Is that your
We just recorded the 7th one today.
And who's on that? Who's the guest? Because they're guests. They're star-packed also.
Right. Well, the guest is Elizabeth Warren. Well, I got this footage sent to us where it's Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren doing an off-the-record interview. So it wasn't meant to be released, and we got it for the podcast. That's the premise that I hold to for about 30 minutes.
Okay.
And then it's a real guest that played Elizabeth Warren, Alice Wetterlund.
Oh, she's super
also
funny.
On this network.
I know. She does the Star Trek show, and she's very funny.
And her Elizabeth Warren was really great.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Your Bernie Sanders impression. I want to say this guy, I don't know if you know, when they do that Trump-Bernie thing, that's not actually Bernie Sanders. That's James Adomian wearing a crazy man's wig.
At some point, it might end up being a real Trump versus Bernie election. Maybe that's a 20% chance. I don't know.
That you are going to be
40% chance.
You're going to be. It'll be a good news, bad news thing for you because part of you will be rolling in it,
going, "I told you,"
and they'll just be like, "We can't book it enough."
Right.
But the other part will be like, "I think I'm losing my mind doing this, like wearing Bernie makeup." But for you,
I already got there
at
a much lower level of demand.
Oh, I'm sure you. Because
what percent of what? How many percentages? The top 1% of the top 10% is a very small percentage. That number needs to change,
and,
in my view.
And you—that was Bernie, right?
You got me, Tom.
I just want to make sure. I didn't think it was Trump. I'm not very political. No.
When you get political, that means somebody's off the deep end.
What's that mean?
I mean, like, when Tom Sharpling weighs in on politics, yeah, that means somebody out there is fucking up.
There we go. It's a curse. We don't curse on this show.
Oh, is this a radio program?
No, it's not, but I still preserve the rating as if it was.
Damn.
But that's exciting. Right now, the guy Mike, who screens calls, is probably doing a little dance. He loves
it. Did he do the 7-second button?
No, there's no button. That's why he likes it more. He calls it like the new, what do you call it, Mike?
The new freedom.
The new freedom. He loves when people curse. The Bernie Sanders thing, it's you and Anthony Atamanek.
Mm-hmm. He plays Donald Trump. He's from the President Show.
And the thing is, though, look, you're already losing your marbles doing this thing. But at least you get to play like a good guy.
Yes.
What's his brand like now?
We've talked about this a lot. Tony, well, we were doing Trump versus Bernie 2015 into 2016 until it became like impossible to keep doing it in the summer of 2016. And then he had to keep doing Trump.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, I'm done.
That was a fun little run for me.
Let's file this job away as in the past. Yeah. And then Anthony has now basically just been forced into what is mm-hmm. now 4 years of playing Donald Trump. And he was never a Donald Trump impersonator. He just started doing it because it was funny. And now it's his whole life.
It's his whole life. That's how funny how things turn out that way, mm-hmm. where it's like, wait, is this going to be my whole thing now?
Yeah. And then, obviously, when you're playing Donald Trump in that headspace, it's, I don't know, psychically degrading. It makes you... It puts you in the headspace of an evil lunatic.
Yeah.
And I guess Bernie's a good lunatic, so it's a slightly less annoying headspace.
Look, yeah, Bernie's a good lunatic. But the big fear would be that you're softening a bad guy, right?
Sure.
That's the worst version of it, where it's like, well, I think I like him more because of your impression.
Well, a workaround on that is to just sort of block any of those people when you encounter them.
Well, that's fair.
And say it's not worth having you as a fan.
But first of all, there's a sweetness to your Bernie Sanders impression.
Oh, you were talking about Bernie? Or
no, I was talking about both of you. Okay. There's a sweetness to your Bernie Sanders impression because he already seems just like a sweet old goof.
Right.
But with the Trump thing.
Cotton candy hair.
Uh-huh.
Pull off a wisp of my hair and let it melt in your mouth.
They call it candy floss in England. Isn't that the weirdest thing you've ever heard?
I floss with my own hair fall.
Candy floss.
Would you like a candy floss?
That was not Bernie now, right? He's not British.
No, he does impressions.
Oh, that's Bernie doing... Who is he doing?
He was doing his generic British guy.
Okay. Oi. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You're the one that killed my brother. Michael Caine. In.
My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
You, but with his Trump, and I know Anthony, I was lucky enough to work with him on the vampire program.
Oh, yes.
Because he kept coming up to Toronto and...
What they do in the shadows.
Yes.
Or shall it not be named.
That's fine. It aired. It did it. Did what it done. I just call it That Vampire Show. But he found a thing on his Trump that is like... You want to see more of it, but you're still disgusted by him. It's not like I've heard that Will Ferrell literally left SNL earlier than he wanted to because he did not want to do George W. Bush the way he was being done on SNL anymore.
Well, I can't speak to it. I wasn't there.
Well, I wasn't expecting a comment on that, but
I do get that, where you're like, this doesn't sound like a fun gig.
And I guess that he must have done the Broadway thing to kind of almost get to write the character for himself when he did the run on Broadway of George W. Bush.
Mm-hmm.
That was definitely a harder edged version of the, like, it was a rougher version of the character.
Yeah, I used to do George W. Bush when he was president in the second term in office. Well, that's when people started to know about it. And I.
So you started first term.
Well, I was young. Yeah. I was doing it. I was doing Bush when I was like 23.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got reelected. And that's when I started doing it on the Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson and touring and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And since.
What was that robot like?
The robot?
On that show. With the mohawk?
I don't know. That might have been after my run on the show.
Okay.
But boy, oh boy, yeah.
Classic he doesn't television. Have a show on Forever Dog, does he?
I don't
he?
Think so. Yes, Kirby, does he?
Does he have a show on Forever Dog, the robot with the mohawk from Craig Ferguson's
someone,
show?
We'll try and get him on.
If we stumble into that, someone should come in waving their arms.
Yeah.
And not sit by and let it happen.
So you started doing your George W. Bush impression on
yes.
that.
And for me, I mean, I had no reputation to worry about. Zero expectation of anything. So for me, there was nothing to do but just, as George W. Bush, have him blithely confess to war crimes and make jokes. And, like, you know, I had him tortured. You know, stuff that he would almost say, but not quite. That was what was so fun about it. Uh-huh. When you're playing a bad guy, to me, is just have them say the things that they're smart enough not to say.
Uh-huh, yeah. It's like roast. Roasting.
As themselves.
Yes, their self.
In their own skin and voice.
The self-roast. It's a 4 a.m. confession into the mirror.
Yes, and it's like you've taken their whole persona and rendered it not theirs anymore.
Now, James Adomian, you are also on you're on this network with the
it's too good to say it without rolling it around, I see.
The Undertow.
That is something that you have to watch out for when we're doing the Underculture podcast, okay. Is that there is an undertow.
The Underculture.
And we have lifeguards set up seasonally.
Okay.
Sometimes people are listening in the winter or whatever. They have to listen with caution because there is an undertow to the undertow.
Okay. The Underculture. And you've had my guy Brett Davis appeared on the show as
– You claim him?
I do. He's got his start on my show. He used to call in as a high school student. I'm not joking.
Was he a high school student?
He was in high. No, he didn't call as a character. He was literally in high school and started calling this show.
Amazing.
It's not that amazing when you think about it. Everybody's in high school. Well, some of us.
But he made it.
Not bragging. Yeah, I went to high school. 3 years of it.
Astounding.
It's pretty impressive. You should have seen me in high school. Oh, those were the days.
Were you the big dog on campus?
What do you think?
Yes, I think obviously.
Well, you're wrong on that. It was not a good experience.
I don't win all my predictions.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of the year, like a good editorial writer, I do a roundup of my predictions. So
sure.
I'll have to have that.
Okay.
I was wrong on that one. Confession.
On the Forever Dog year-end wrap-up. James Adomian's predictions. So.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
What was the first impression you did in your life where you were just like, I can do an impression?
Well, when I was a child.
Yeah, even as a kid. Like, who do you make fun of? A relative?
Yes. Family members, ads on TV, the newsman reading the news at night. I remember thinking how funny it was that people on the news spoke in a way that's clearly not the way normal people speak, and no one called them out on it. As early as I can remember, at the age of three or something. So
who is a relative you did an impression of that you remember?
Oh, my grandfather had a very thick Detroit accent.
Okay.
So we would be like, get in the car. Well, and imagine being an old man with me and my brother, little kids going around making fun of your accent.
Mm-hmm. I made fun of my grandfather, too, with an impression. It would be like, you stinking bum. Because he'd get mad. He would call everybody a stinking bum. He'd be like, you stinking bum. What's he sounded like Tube Bar, like my grandfather. You know the Tube Bar when they prank phone called? They're like, hey, is alcoholic there? And he's like, hold on a second. Alcoholic.
Oh, okay.
That sounded like my grandfather. He sounded like that guy, Red. Two bars in Jersey City. That prank, somebody was pranking an old man in Jersey City with that.
Was it the same old man every time?
Oh, yeah. Poor old Red. His name was Red. And the bar was called the Tube Bar because it was across the street from the PATH station, the tube, the subway.
Got it.
So you made fun of your grandfather. We both made fun of our respective grandfathers. I didn't make fun of your grandfather.
Thank you.
That's why I said respective. What's the first one you did in front of people where you're like, I'm going to start doing this to make people I don't know laugh?
I guess in school, I was immediately sort of just – like attracted like a magnet to making fun of teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's something I've thought about it. I was trying to wonder as an adult if weird people who are eccentric are attracted to becoming teachers, or if the occupation of teacher makes you into a weirdo.
Uh-huh.
But there is some correlation. And they're standing in front. Maybe it's also just that they have to stand and talk in front of people. So they're going to, your eccentricities are going to come out that way. But that was an audience. Like there's a shared audience, the class that knows that teacher. And so that was, I think like a lot of people who do impressions, it was like a lion cub learning how to kill something.
Yeah.
Just by swatting at it and playing, and then you become a comedian instead of a lion.
That's how you did it?
Yeah.
Imagine being a teacher, though. Like, now when you're an adult, you realize, like, what – they must have been in the hallway before walking into the first day just being like, I'm actually going to have to go in front of these kids and act like an authority figure.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to be made fun of. Yes. I know what it was like to be in that chair.
Yeah.
I now have to be the grown up in front of these kids.
I know I tremble my vowels.
Like in the bathroom mirror, just being like, come on, you can do this. You can do this. Like at the end of Boogie Nights.
Yeah. And see.
Just hyping yourself up.
And pulling. Hopefully not that.
Well.
The full end of Boogie Nights.
Well, as my high school was like that.
Where you were the big man on campus.
No, this is all the teachers. I walked into the teacher's lounge one time and
I could do this, Jack. I've got this, Jack.
Now, who's the first celebrity you could do an impression of? James Adomian.
That's a good
question.
Which
is at James Adomian.
At J Adomian.
J Adomian. Who beat you to that?
Well, it's shorter.
Okay. That's when the characters counted. Now
That's
we've got
right.
so many we don't know what to do with them.
I still try, not always, but sometimes I try to stick to that old 140 character. That you have to guess because you just see
the
progress card go. Yeah, I still like if there's not a lot of nonsense that you have to say.
I still keep it
to the old fashioned 140.
I still get a little irked when somebody starts doing like abbreviations in a thing where it's like, come on, spread out. You got 280 to burn.
Or say less.
Tightening up here. Or say less. But you don't have to suddenly be like seriously, doesn't have to be S-R-L-Y in a tweet. In a text, it's fine.
Right.
A tweet.
Or in a legal document.
That's true. I would question that legal document if it had, if like, first of all, if it said seriously in it, I might question, even if it was written fully, it was like, seriously, guys.
Section 18, seriously, come on now.
Yeah, seriously, this guy hit my car. So, J Adomian. So let's talk about that first impression.
The letter J, not the name J.
Well, I didn't think your name was J. Yeah.
That would be, you really got iced out of the best handles.
You got beat. Yeah. You're just learning about social media right now. You're like, which names are available? And OJ got Real OJ 32, which is his football number, his uniform number.
What do you have to kill to get that Twitter handle?
Did you hear his little video he sent? He was like, I'm on Twitter now, guys.
I saw it, and I'm like, why? Why did he? I guess it's just like it would be like why out of nowhere no one's thought about him in so long.
Mm-hmm.
He shows up almost with like a trombone, like unnecessary. Mm-hmm. Who told him to do that?
Yeah. Like, it's 2019. Time for the juice to get on Twitter.
Of all the websites.
Yeah.
Twitter. The worst one.
Well, I think it'd be worse if he was on LinkedIn.
He should. I mean,
he could be the king of LinkedIn.
He should give in and just get on LinkedIn.
Hey guys, it's OJ. I'm on LinkedIn. Put my resume up.
Formerly Avis Car Rental.
Yes. Actor.
Is that the company? Formerly Police Squad.
If it wasn't Avis, Avis wants people, like the other company wants you to think, Hertz wants you to think it was Avis.
They're pushing him off.
I think it was OJ did Avis.
No, it was Budget.
And let me say this about Los Angeles. Uh-oh. This is a great city, obviously. You got to fix that airport bus thing, taking to the car rental places. You don't even know what it's like because you live here. You pull your luggage off the carousel.
I know what that's like.
And you go out and you're standing on an island. You have to wait for a bus that says Enterprise on it. For example, this is not a product endorsement of Enterprise, even though I am a club member, Silver Circle.
They don't listen to the show for it to matter.
Well, I wish they would listen because I'd say you guys need more buses. Stand out there for a half hour waiting for a bus to roll by.
I don't like to wait for things. I also don't drive and haven't for a while. I can rent a car, but I usually don't drive. So sometimes I just get a taxi or ride share home from LAX, but
you ever hitchhike?
No, but
never ever in your life.
I also grew up by the airport here. So
here you grew up by the airport in LA.
Yeah. So sometimes I walk out of LAX and like go eat at one of the hotels
that you just are familiar with.
Yeah. And I feel like it's just me and a couple of like employees going on a lunch break that I have ever seen walking out of LAX.
Uh-huh.
But you can, it's legal.
That's the under culture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Airport, yeah. Living around the airport, like living around the airport.
That's right.
Somebody's got to live there. Look, I had a friend check out New Jersey once and was just like, it's just like, oh, look at this place, huh? I'm like, yeah, I grew up 5 minutes from here. Please don't be that harsh about it. I spent a huge chunk of my life right where you're commenting as if it's like a garbage pit.
And you're like, it was always like this.
But I didn't see it that way. Maybe I just didn't realize it was kind of garbagey.
I see both sides of this New Jersey thing. Because in many ways it's a beautiful state, and it never gets talked about. When the trees turn in the autumn, all the small mountains and hiking and all that.
Yeah, man, it's called the Garden State.
Yes, it's beautiful in many ways. It's the part of New Jersey that's next to New York that everyone screams squeals about.
They see between Newark Airport and the Holland Tunnel.
Right.
Where it looks like Blade Runner.
I will say also that there is a unique among the 50 states, the most sensitive is by far New Jersey to any mention of the state.
Really?
Hold on. I've seen people from New Jersey, and I know this is a New Jersey show, but I've seen people.
Well, this is a worldwide show, James.
Well, no, but I know that it's a hometown hero.
Sure.
New Jersey show.
Hometown so hero.
I don't mean this
it's
disrespectfully.
Me and Bon Jovi.
Well, you famously insulted Chris Christie too when he tried to play your radio show. Chris Christie tried to play your radio show at his campaign events, and you were like, "No, thank you."
I would not give him
that broke his heart
clearance to play comedy from the radio show. Look who just walked in! Oh my goodness! As I live and breathe, at Tim Heidecker.
Whoa! Sorry, we got some slap back.
Yeah. You're going to have to ride that slap back.
Wow. How are you?
Hi. Good to see you,
I think
Tim.
I can't wear these headphones.
I got one can on, one can off.
It's wild.
That's how I do it.
It's like I'm recording style. Instant Karma.
That's
got
right.
That kind of...
Doom. Doom. He did the piano, too.
He did it all.
Broom.
Oh, Tim.
What did I miss?
Here, that's for you.
It's a $50 bill?
Show, yes.
Thanks I can park here show. Twice?
Yeah, Ulysses Grant.
Wait, how much did it cost you to park?
$26, ladies and gentlemen. No. I was not expecting anything.
Hold on.
They just added a few tolls.
What you're missing here is that they're pushing money back and forth between each other. It's It's watching two men fight over a graduation dinner bill.
I'll get the tip.
Oh, you're being too
no,
much.
No, this is way too much. I got the lobster. Wow, I've never done your show in all the years.
Face to face.
Face to face.
It's always been
I think
calling
we're going to lose something in that experience.
No, we're going to gain something. So, right. James, what was that first celebrity impression?
Sorry,
never
to disrupt the flow.
I mean, I did cartoons and stuff. I did Vincent Price because I liked his commercials. Mm-hmm. I remember he had the mildew commercial, Tilex brand tile cleaners, when I was in elementary school. It kills mildew dead.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, that's okay. I want to be him.
What's the first impression where you're just like, I'm literally the only one on earth doing this impression?
Jesse Ventura. I don't know, but I lost that one. I think other people do it now.
Do people do your impression? Do they do your impression of those people?
I don't know.
I don't care.
I don't. Yeah.
Why am I jumping in?
Because you're a guest on the show. That's why.
I know, but
why are you jumping in, Tim?
You and I did it. Remember, we did a tour together.
Yeah, we did a tour.
We did a comedy bang bang tour. It's very strange that that happened. We did that. Spent
yeah, we were like it was like Crosby's and Stills.
Yeah,
Crosby's
and Stills.
Yes,
Graham Nash kind of talks like this, doesn't he? Graham Nash speaks a little like this.
Yeah, that's here. Good. That's really good.
Yeah, he's got that pinched quality. Yeah.
I was working with Stephen and David. You know,
everyone
Topanga Canyon
knows them as Stills and Crosby. You're the only person in the world that doesn't use their.
I don't
last
call
name.
Them. I don't call them by the last name. They're friends of mine. Was in the Hollies, of course.
He called in. David Crosby called the show.
That's a coup.
Because on the producers on this show, it's a look. I issued an edict at one point where I'm like, look, you guys start getting some people to call in.
Yeah,
and. On the whole, it's a three-way tie for last with these guys. They couldn't try less hard to make that happen. Mike, is Mike there? Mike?
He's lost interest.
No, he's here. It sounds like you're...
That's not... Mike, get on.
A medium who's summoning a spirit. Yes. Is
Mike, I feel the presence of...
What's happening?
Mike.
Yeah.
Mike?
Yeah, I'm here.
Who did you get to call in that time? He got some guy from Twin Peaks.
Oh, yeah, the drunk.
Kyle MacLachlan?
No,
the drunk. Yeah, he got a guy who was called the – what was it?
Yeah, he was called – his character's name was the drunk. Yeah, his –
During the third season.
Not a guy that does a lot of press for Twin Peaks.
So Mike bothered him on Twitter to the point where he called in.
Kyle was too busy promoting his wine.
Who was
Kyle?
Kyle MacLachlan.
Yeah, he's got a wine.
All right, Mike.
I'm looking
right,
at
this is not translated.
I'm looking at getting my own line.
How are the headshots selling, Mike?
They're okay. Modest.
Because Mike sells these headshots.
Modest
it's the
sales.
Most unbelievable thing I've ever seen. Over at apmike.bandcamp.com. He puts any pile of trash up there and the listeners buy it. He sells headshots.
Other people's headshots?
No, just of himself.
Oh. I'm thinking
signed?
Of branching out.
Signed.
Now.
Nice.
$10 a pop mm-hmm. on these things.
If you're gonna buy it, that's a good price.
He was selling them signed with a gold pen for 20 and people bought them.
Yeah.
How many people bought the gold
I have to talk to my marketing team, but I don't know. I don't keep
stop.
Marketing?
No, there's not. It's him. It's him on an orange crate.
Mike, have you gotten any of those headshots up in like laundromats or pizzerias or anything like that? You know, Chinese restaurants.
I've heard from people in Brooklyn that they can't. You know, they go to people's apartments. They're all over Brooklyn, and I have sent quite a few to Brooklyn.
People from Brooklyn.
It's one of my hotspots.
Oh, I got my AP Mike headshot.
Oh, no, he
came into my apartment. There it was, right there in the opening hallway.
Yeah.
Bing.
Yeah.
Bang, right there.
Well, those new condos.
Yeah, I just went over to apmike.bandcamp.com, typed it in, bada bing, bada boom, he sent me a headshot. We're up playing stickball on the front yard there. Bing.
I'd like to get one at the turkey's
nest. And
then
he's got this new thing. What?
The turkey's nest. I'd like to get one up there.
At the turkey's nest.
Oh, Williamsburg.
Great barn. Great barn, bro. Great place to hang out. It's across from what park is it across from? McCarran Park.
Yeah.
Which is?
The site of Tom's Mitten.
Which I said.
Somewhere between Williamsburg and Greenpoint.
Somewhere. Yeah, it's a fun park.
When you get stopped between Williamsburg and Greenpoint.
Yeah, sing it, but put kickball into it.
Kickball.
adult kickball leagues.
In McCarran Park.
First of all, I want to say this.
When you kickball.
Are you guys committing to the full recline of this chair? Or you're fighting it?
I kind of lean.
I see you are.
I lean into it, but I'm leaning not into it. It's the opposite of I'm leaning into not leaning into it. So Mike has these. He has this new thing called the Book Club, where what he does is you send him $10 and you tell him what type of book you like, and then he roots through just the piles of books he's got in his place. He sends you one. He
goes to Art Garfunkel's house.
Art
got all the books.
He catalogs everything he's read. Like
he does. His website has it.
It's demented.
He's demented.
Art Garfunkel?
Yeah. If you go to his website, he's got every book he's read like by year. Yeah. So he's got 1993.
Great.
I read The Thornbirds.
The Thornbirds.
So, yes, by Stephen King.
Pascal's Pensies. Yeah.
What?
No, it's a great site.
All right, Mike,
site.
Enough. Shut Mike out. Just throw him out. Did you guys order pizza over there?
We did.
You did. Was it good?
Pizza out there.
Pat said it's a primo pie. With a lot of, he said, really great toppings.
Are you able to take calls on this this new format?
Are we? Watch
just,
this.
Okay, I'm just curious.
Give me a call, please.
Line one, you're on.
Hey.
Hey, who's this?
This is Mike from Virginia.
Mike from Virginia. Where in Virginia are you from?
Of the Virginia Michaels.
Where are you from in Virginia, Mike?
Richmond.
Richmond. What's going on in Richmond tonight?
Not a whole bunch, Tom. It's good to talk to you.
Great to talk to you, Mike. What made you call?
I heard James, and I just wanted to say, you know, hey to James. It's great I heard you on Howard Stern, and you said one thing about the one-payer Netflix, and I haven't been able to stop thinking about it since. So I just wanted to say,
Bernie Sanders' proposal, single-payer Netflix account for the entire country.
That was fun. You got to go on Howard Stern.
Yeah, we did that as a joke in 2016, And I think some – oh, Andrew Yang stumbled onto the same joke a couple months ago.
Stumbled upon it.
Oh, what if these presidential candidates are stealing material?
What's that like to go on Howard Stern? Kind of like this.
It's a lot like this, actually.
Similar vibe.
It's a lot like this.
With more air conditioning.
They have the latency problems in the slapback and the headphones.
I'm sorry, guys.
Almost identical.
Because you don't know, right now we hear ourselves echoing back pretty clearly.
And
I'm sorry, Tom Sharpling already hears himself. Get a job. Right? How's that sound? We'll hang up if that's...
sounds like a preset on a Yola Tango record that they're working on.
Sounds like a preset on a Yola Tango record. May your sister be forced to share a bunk bed with Yola Tango.
Well, what was he? Was he nice? Did he introduce himself? And were you in character the whole time, like a method actor?
No. There's like a whole. It's like meeting the Wizard of Oz. There's like people at different whisking doors and gates that are like.
And you're like
Howard is ready to see you now.
Uh huh. And you kind of get shuttled over.
You're
to him.
Moved from room to room on a horse of a different color.
Sounds stressful.
But then he's very nice, but I did not know this. Apparently you're not supposed to shake his hand. I just like bounded right up and was like, hi, Howard, nice to meet you. And that was like something that was not supposed to be done.
Oh, good for you. Good for you.
They didn't tell you explicitly not to do that, right?
Afterwards, everyone was like, oh, you weren't supposed to.
Guy can't afford wet wipes? After Purell. A handshake? Purell?
How
word.
Powerful do you have
a
to
word.
Be?
You may do a lot of fun celebrity impressions, but I do Purell. I'm the Purell guy.
Wow, that's Purell.
That's good. That's Howard.
Robin. Robin, are you purifying with your Purell or are you something else?
What would it sound like if Bernie Sanders was debating with a bottle of Purell? Please indulge
Look,
me.
Look, for far too long... antibacterial items from these large corporations like Purell have rendered some of the germs bacteria resistant.
I've lost it already. Suddenly I'm Donald Duck.
It kills 99.9% of the germs. Oh, we should good. Be killing the top that's 1% nice. Of these bacteria.
Oh, I forgot to mention. Let me mention this benefit show that our friend Jason Walliner is doing. Right?
Yeah, I'm doing it too.
Let's save. It's called Let's Save the Future. It's a show here in Los Angeles, Lipstick City, everyone's favorite city, Showbiz USA, as they call it out here. You guys call it Lipstick City, right?
Oh, yeah.
Out here?
Yeah.
You can call it, I got that from Jim Rome.
Sonsville.
Jim Rome was just like, yeah, here in L.A., Lipstick City.
That'd be LC.
Like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Did he spend the entire time in Century City? Century City, arguably you could call Lipstick City. But then it's already Century City.
Century City.
It's... Century
City.
You're gonna move some of that bad stuff down in Century City.
So anyway, there's this thing called Let's Save the Future that our friend Jason
Waller
is putting together. It's a benefit to help Action Civics California. Now listen to this bill. This is like a who's who. Might as well list who's not on this bill.
That would be quicker, I think.
James Adomian.
Not invited. Not asked to be part of the show.
Who else is not asked to be part of the show? Jeff Garlin. Not asked to be on the bill, apparently. Now, this is who's there.
I never heard about the show. When was I? Nobody told me the show was him. I wanted to be on the show at a charity. Why can't I be on the show? Larry.
June 20th.
You didn't have to do the Larry.
No, but I like to imagine that he's always grasping for some Larry, whether he's there.
Larry!
Larry, come on!
That's
because I liked what's his face on the show was like Larry
Marty Funkhouse.
Larry, what's your problem? Why are you always driving me crazy? That's Larry.
I mean, come on, Larry.
Larry.
The one, the died. He died, right?
Yes, he did.
The brother of Albert Brooks.
The brother of Albert Brooks. Super Eisenstein. Dave Osborne also.
Eisenstein. Einstein.
Bob Einstein.
Bob Einstein.
Very funny guy. So here's the, he is not going to be on this bill also. For I guess with the
Pete Holmes.
Pete Holmes, not on
ask,
the show.
Not ask.
Let's. Listen to this. I can play this Pete Holmes laughing thing, which is maybe my favorite sound clip I've ever had in my life. But here's on this bill. Sarah Silverman is on it.
You don't have a Sarah Silverman in your back pocket?
You Tig Notaro. Tim Heidecker from Us. Us star, Tim Heidecker. Langston Kerman.
Huh?
Chelsea Peretti.
Who's Langston Kerman?
He's Should funny.
Well, you're going to find out backstage.
Okay. Huh?
Paul He's Scheer.
Listening right now.
Stand-up heavy hitters.
Paul Scheer. Keri Johnson.
Huh?
Joe Mandy. Nick Thorburn from Islands.
Nick Thorburn!
And your host, Nick Thorburn!
Musical guest, Nick Thorburn and Islands.
Featuring
Langston Kerman!
I've done that bit almost, like for years, and it always makes me laugh too. And that Pardo, any name.
We did an episode of the radio show. It was called Night of a Thousand Pardos, where just listeners called up. And it's just like, read your dream version of an SNL hosting and musical guest. And somebody called with the funniest thing I've maybe ever heard in my life was,
musical guest. Anthony Kiedis and the E Street Band.
And then you're just like, what happened to where
he's that timeline?
Like, is Bruce Springsteen dead? Did the boss die? And now Anthony Kiedis took over the band?
One of the great singers, Anthony Kiedis.
He really
One
is.
One of the great singers.
Yeah.
I like how it just cuts off.
Yeah.
One of the great singers.
Who else?
He did a thing on SNL. When Red Hot Chili Peppers played on SNL, there was a thing where the one guitarist was like about to quit the band.
John Frusciante?
Yes. And he was like, yeah, I was going to quit the band, so I decided to play the thing in a different arrange, like a different
key
thing and it to mess with them. And if you watch him do like Under the Bridge, like he can't sing his own song.
Well, that's what they say about him, that it takes lots of doctoring in the studio to get a vocal.
You know who it doesn't take doctoring for is Tim Heidecker.
Tim!
A new album out.
Heidecker!
What's this new album? Well, let me just say this first of all. Let's Save the Future. Yeah. It's June 20th at the theater at the Ace Hotel.
I wasn't available anyway.
No, I know you were busy. James was busy.
Let me tell you something. I will be playing a couple of songs with a very special super secret guest. I will be inviting that person on stage with me for two songs. And let me just tell you, folks, it's going to send shockwaves through the independent music community.
Attention, Pitchfork. You better send a stringer out.
Is it David Crosby?
I wish. Let me ask you about that, though. What's your that experience with David Crosby on the call. It was a positive one for you?
It was. Let me just say, go www.letssavethefuture.com. It was a positive one because Jason, producer, Jason Gore, aka Dudio, he was browbeating him on Twitter.
Because he's very active on Twitter.
He is. And he's very funny on Twitter in a very grouchy way. Yeah. People would be like, hey, do you like the Doors thing was maybe the funniest thing ever where he's just like
– They never swung.
Like Jim Morrison was a clown.
Yeah.
Just like – he's like, they sucked.
Yeah.
So Jason got him to call in and he called in and suddenly he was on the line. It's like – and I didn't know what to say to him. He was just – so I was like
– Were you – are you? Could, would you – Are you a fan?
Look, I love the Birds.
Yeah. You're not a CSN.
Miles high.
Yes.
You're not a CSN nut.
No, I'm not. I don't like them.
Okay.
I like his one solo album.
Them.
If only I could remember my name.
Yeah.
It's a very sad album. But when he called in, I was like, I just want to say to you, one of my favorite songs ever is this song by the Birds, Everybody's Been Burned. And he was like, you're one of those 60s guys who likes my stuff. So as soon as he was saying that, I went to davidcrosby.com and I was like, no, that's not true. I like your new album. And I read it off the screen.
He has a new album that I actually really like.
No, people have said that the stuff, I just didn't know it. Stuff,
yeah.
But people have legitimately said they like his stuff.
Yeah.
I just had to say I like the thing because
he's on the line.
Because he was on the line. I didn't want to.
And the documentary about him looks good.
Do you think he's ever shaved the mustache or is it just an old growth forest?
Do you guys know about the Wilford Brimley jazz album from a few years ago?
No.
Tom, I'm going to turn you on to something great.
Wilford Brimley?
He put out a jazz album in 2015, and I think you should play it.
Get your butt out of the dugout and start playing baseball.
It's not the most surprising thing you'll ever hear.
It's like you hear the name Wilford Brimley, and then you'd have a really good Wilford Brimley impression.
Well, what's the damn problem for? If you got a problem with it, I'll blackmail you with some photos.
He's still alive.
There's some kinky stuff in there.
He's still out there.
He's on Twitter.
Wilford Brimley, really? Jeff Hamilton Trio.
Yeah. You don't have that one?
No, I'm looking at it here on Tidal.
It's on Tidal.
I can't keep up with the damn chord changes.
Let's slow it down a little bit. God damn it.
That's from 2015. This is not him at all. He comes in and goes, Wilford Brimley.
It's not far off from what you're doing.
I wish you bluebirds.
Can you please, how do I turn this?
To give your heart a song.
How do you turn this off?
And then a kiss. Can this go up from the auxiliary?
I wish you love.
Thank you. I wish you love.
And if you like
and I wish
lemonade, to cool you in some leafy glade. I wish you health.
He looks, sounds like he's having more than fun, wealth.
I wish you love. My breaking heart, and I agree that you and I could never be.
Something for him to do.
Yeah.
Something for him to do.
Let's see what song. I just want to hear one more. I want to hear him do Ain't She Sweet.
Ain't She Sweet.
I'll tell you, sweet. She's.
Quaker Oats. That's what's sweet. A little sugar in there.
The National Rifle Association stands for America.
Jazz guys are just vamping. You want to just do standard jazz here?
Standard jazz.
Come in anytime you want, Wilford. They're just like, they're waiting. Anytime now.
Ain't she sweet?
Okay.
See her walking down
the
street.
Oh, he sounds...
ask you very confidentially, ain't she sweet?
Sounds like he's got a little Shatner in there.
Yeah.
That was the number where he takes his clothes off.
That's the, for his little burlesque show.
I can't get the damn overall strap off the shoulder.
He's got the pasties on.
Ah, but they're Quaker Oats.
Someone, did you see that thing when people pointed out that, like, when Tom Cruise did the sixth Mission Impossible movie, he was the same age as Wilford Brimley when he did Cocoon?
Right.
Jesus.
Like, isn't that the weirdest thing you've ever heard?
Well, it's also weird that Brimley's still alive and kicking and like, you just think he's been, like, 75 since the 80s.
Did Wilford Brimley have a young phase? Like... Tom Cruise got famous young and hot.
What's like the first appearance of Brimley in a movie or something? Like, do we have young Brimley on film?
Hey, sweet artist, great dancing with you.
Yeah, like you imagine him going into like audition for a thing and they're like, come back in 45 years. You don't have it yet, guy. Kid, looking at your face, You got to be old. Let's see what his first acting job was. Wilford Brimley.
You know what you could do is go to IMDb.
What's that?
If you're at IMDb.com is the website where you can find information.
I'm going to guess that he was on the Jack Benny show, the radio show.
You think?
I don't think it's him, but I want to believe it's
a really funny one.
I bet it's late.
What a year do you think it
I'm
is?
I'm guessing it's like
it's a small role.
Part. I'm saying it's like 68.
Oh, what year?
1968.
I'm going to say a little earlier. He's in a Doris Day movie in 1962 as a guy that's like, I'll take your bags, ma'am.
That young old man just took my bags up to the penthouse.
Benjamin Button's over there.
Well, Tim Heidecker, at Tim Heidecker.
You don't have to do that. Appreciate it.
New album is called what now?
You're close. It's What the Broken Hearted Do.
What the Broken Hearted Do.
..
And it's put out by...
Jag Jaguar.
Very successful label.
Yeah, good, respectable label.
Home of...
That I'm not so sure of. Bon Iver
and
Sharon Van Etten.
Sharon Van Etten, and I think Angel Olsen is on the label. And
Jaguar.
A number of
artists. 1969.
Hey, all right.
He was in True Grit.
Original.
Yes, uncredited. Minor
that
role.
That doesn't count.
Then he appeared in.
He was in the China Syndrome.
The first thing he was credited with was he played a blacksmith on an episode of Kung Fu. What might that sound like, James?
I'll tell you. You want to grab that thing out of his hand, you got to be faster than a grasshopper. You're going to need help, and I'm going to have to beat it out of some iron.
I actually memorized all the Kung Fu scripts, so I could... probably call it up.
Okay, what
would
that
be?
Let's hear that. He did 10 episodes.
I'm just kidding.
Joking?
Wait, that's a
joke?
Just
clowning around, yeah.
Okay.
I didn't memorize all the Kung Fu scripts. Come on.
They all end.
I can't tell anymore.
I know. It's all bits.
10 episodes. Yeah, there should be like a bit-free zone sometimes, shouldn't there?
Let's get
be
real.
Like, let's not do bits tonight.
No.
Like when they have a free speech zone next to a political convention.
Bit-free zone
in a comedy-heavy environment.
Yeah. This is a bit-free zone.
Taped off on the floor.
His big breakout was in the China Syndrome. Confirm.
I would say cinematically, yes. But he made his mark on 10 episodes of The Waltons.
Really?
Yes.
Those damn Waltons next door.
Where he played... a peeper.
Ooh. It was 10 episodes of a peeper?
Yes. He did not play a peeper.
Peeper's back.
Where's my step stool?
He played Horace Brimley, which is his character. That's like they didn't. They just like, what's your name? And he was going by A. Wilford Brimley at that point.
A. Wilford Brimley.
Hey, Wilford Brimley. He walks into Mel's.
No, not Mel's.
Arnold's.
Al's or Arnold's.
Or Arnold's.
Depending on what era of the show you're in.
I don't remember any Happy Days.
There was that point Happy Days where Fonzie was just suddenly like, this guy's not even remotely cool. Like when you're a kid, you're just like, oh, he's the coolest guy ever. Then suddenly it's like, he's 5'4" and he's like 38 years old, hanging out at the malt shop still.
Hanging out at some house with these teenagers.
Yeah, living,
he's trapped.
He's living above the garage of like the kid who he always would act cooler than. Just suddenly like, hey, Mr. C, Mrs. C, can I rent that above your garage? I think you got an A-frame garage. Is there room for a bed up there? Yeah. Remember when they I'm so sorry.
Well, I was just going to say he wasn't free to like change his look like a real cool guy would.
Yeah.
A real cool guy would be like, hey, I have a shoulder pad dress jacket that I roll the sleeves up on now. That's my next look. Hey, I've got an earring now.
I'm moving forward.
Yeah, moving forward. Yeah. He was stuck in
like 1966 and he's still wearing a leather, still dressed like a hoodlum. And then he would always be just like, I'm going to go hang out with the D'Annunzio triplets. It's like, well, that's disgusting. Right. Like, triplets. Like, they're, those are three sisters, you creep.
And then they gave him, like, magic qualities at some point, right, where he can do things.
We thought Mark for Mark.
Well, but he could, like, touch things and things would happen.
Yes.
He had could, a magic like, touch.
Yeah. Remember when he fought Mark for Mark?
I don't remember the fight. Was there a fight?
It was a fight. It was a finger fight. They had like finger
powers. Oh, boy.
Because there was Mork had a fist and then his index finger and then Fonzie used his thumbs.
Boy, they were having fun in the writer's room that season.
Yeah, that was.
Just letting loose.
Funny thing, it was the mid to late 70s when they wrote that. Weird, huh? Like what could possibly have been kind of laying all over the place in the writer's room? In Los Angeles.
Was would Mork make and Mindy set
a spaceman.
In the 50s like Happy Days?
No.
So who, did someone time travel?
It's like Captain Marvel. It's like Captain Marvel.
Fonz got really old?
It's like they reset, reset the universe.
Oh, okay.
Mork ages differently than the rest of humans. He's not a human, James.
So it's like Santa Claus. There's always another guy playing the role.
Yeah.
Mind. You probably could do a good Robin.
Oh,
fuck. Oh, I don't curse, right?
You can cry. You, no, don't. Just
I thought there was a thing.
Oh, there is.
Oh, but you can't do Robin without dropping the F. I got a big burn on Robin once, you know? Did I ever tell you this story?
You got one over on him?
I got one pretty good. I worked with him before he died. And this is not a bit. This is a bit free.
So you worked with him before he died?
Did I say after he died?
No, I just want to make sure it was before. just for the... Because it would be a very different story.
Oh, big time.
Whoa.
Oh, suddenly. Big time.
Hey.
Oh.
Well, fast, huh, fast.
Oh. Yeah, big time. Oh, F and A. So I worked with him shortly before he died.
Okay.
One of his last movies I was in with him.
Was called RV.
It was a bad movie and a bad title of a movie. It was called Merry Friggin' Christmas. Christmas movie, Joel McHale, Candace Bergen, and Robin. And this is a small burn, but I feel good about it. He was very nice, and we got along very well. But we were talking about Popeye, one of my favorite movies as a kid, Popeye.
Yes, Popeye.
And I was talking about Robert Evans, because Robert Evans produced that movie, the legendary producer.
Legendary producer, Robert.
There he goes. I teed you up for that one. And he said, I didn't know. I said, is he still alive? And Robin goes, oh, big time. And I go, well, not big time. I wouldn't think that that Robert Evans would be described as big time being alive. He's probably he's on his way out. You know, big time is not how you describe the life of Robert Evans right now.
An 84-year-old guy who abused himself in every possible way.
Oh, big time.
Oh.
But he laughed.
Right?
Oh!
1, 2, 3, 4. When he would always do that. Like, Captain, I couldn't. What do we do? Like,
who micro was it? Impressions.
Yeah, they were like,
Captain, I can't do it. Hey, suddenly, ooh.
Oh, yeah. You get real excited when other people are doing the bits, too.
Now, when you hear a micro impression, as somebody who can just lock in on a character, James, you hear these people do it, you're just like, you say to yourself, oh, they're only doing that because they can only say it in one, they only got a few words in that voice.
It's pure condescension and competition. That's, you got to flip between the two. That's what fuels any great art, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Can I
condescension or competition?
Can I give you a challenge?
Oh,
I think
boy.
There's a guy that I don't think anyone can do. It's because he's got such a weirdly specific, boring voice. Mm-hmm. Wolf Blitzer.
okay, yeah. It would be like, okay, this is great. What's he talking about? The election or something?
The incoming the war with Iran coming up. The
news out of the Straits of Hormuz here in the Situation Room. I'm Wolf Blitzer. There's the beard is actually softening the sound in the room.
Yeah, I mean it's hard, isn't it?
Oh, I think that's an impression that shook the industry.
I don't think it can be done.
I got
great
one
name.
For you.
I met Wolf Blitzer once, backstage at Craig Ferguson,
uh-huh.
and. He was one of these guys that had an impressive handshake.
Mm-hmm.
He sees me and he looks me up and down and he goes, "Wolf Blitzer," and like shot a hand at me as hard as possible. And it was like a,
Wolf Blitzer.
His hand punches your hand as he shakes it kind of handshake.
But he didn't crush your fingers, which is.
No, but it was like the way a orchestra conductor like proudly shakes hands with the first violin or whatever. But he was just. There to do a thing.
Worst handshake in show business, Tim Heidecker.
Emo Phillips.
Emo Phillips.
Unquestionable. Just a very saggy, wet, limp.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, wet fish. We always love seeing you. Oh, I'm so sorry.
James Adomian, worst handshake in the biz as far as you're concerned?
Worst handshake in the biz?
Who's giving you a handshake where you're like, come on. You think about it. I'll say mine.
Okay.
And it's going to be a shocker. Michael Shannon.
Ooh.
I met him at a thing, and he's like, "Hey, you're the rock rule rock." Like
you're the guy from the Yankees commercial.
No, he didn't know me from the Yankees commercial. Hey, you're the guy who's 27 seconds in on the 90-second Yankees commercial that only ran during the All-Star weekend. No, he was just like, "You do rock rule."
That's thing. Nice.
It was nice. But he reached his hand out, and it was like this.
Mm.
And it was like
he's the Queen of England.
Like it just sunk into my palm of my hand. Like it was like he had like a dead hand or something. Herbie didn't like that one at all.
Kind of research for a movie he's doing or something.
Yeah. I guess the worst handshake to me is Howard Stern.
I was going to say, that's the because one that caused so much trouble.
He repulsed. Thank you.
Because he literally did not want to do
last
it.
Last time. Last time on this current episode.
Well, master of the
you
callback.
You right for the hand, huh? That's disgusting. You do good mic work, though.
Let's see if we can hear this. Can we hear this? Is this down? Oh, no, I know what it is. LinkedIn. Never mind. Here we go. Watch this. It's a super cut.
I'm
not Ricky Gervais. I'm just going to let it out. I love his laugh. Do you
hate
his laugh?
We're getting a children's
too?
Book from him in the future, aren't we?
Pete Holmes' children book?
Yeah.
When you open each page, it's a laugh.
Well, there's a lot.
I'm the greatest!
There's a lot of dirty blue stuff in the book, you know, but kids love that kind of stuff. We talk about masturbating and warts.
Someone called the show and said, a listener said that if they were following the logic of Crashing, that he was acting out parts of his life, that they wanted the show to keep going just because they wanted the show to get so far ahead of his life that he in real life would have to do things that were written for him on the show to keep the show accurate. Does that make sense?
I missed it I missed the Back to the Future logic.
The show was moving so fast. In three seasons, they started with him like starting
struggling.
It off with comedy.
Got it. And now he's getting
by big. The end of the third one, he was kind of getting somewhere. So by that logic, if he did three more seasons, he would have been ahead of where he actually was when he was filming
the show.
Yeah. So he would have to do things.
He would
in his
walk
real life.
Away from the show Crashing because he didn't want to do it anymore on the next season of Crashing.
Or he would just say, it's like, well, they wrote for me, my character does well, coke
host
now.
Host
so I guess
tonight,
I have to do coke in real life.
Or host the Tonight Show or something, like becomes the host of the Tonight Show, that kind of thing? Career stuff or personal
good
stuff?
Or bad, it would have been exciting to see, but we'll never have the chance now.
Never say never. They brought that Deadwood back.
So you just think they could wrap Crashing up with
we'll
a
do
movie?
A movie, yeah.
A Crashing movie. Oh, fingers
it could
crossed.
Be better than that Deadwood movie, Maron.
Was that not good?
I thought it stunk.
They didn't curse enough for you. Because you know the thing is, they curse on that show so much.
It's so fun to hear him curse on TV.
Not everybody's a clean entertainer like you.
Yeah, it's guys like me and...
Gaffigan
and...
I don't like those words.
What is... Yeah, what's the whispering?
Why is he saying that?
What is he saying?
I just want to eat a marshmallow. Blowhole. I don't call it a blowhole.
That's pretty good. Nice guy.
Very nice guy.
He's a nice guy. Good guy. Good guy, GG.
You ever Does he have an album called Laughing Again with Jim Gaffigan? It could be a cool movie.
Laugh
for
Again
him to
with
do.
Jim Gaffigan.
Laugh Again. Laugh Again with Jim Gaffigan. Gaffigan.
Gaffigan yeah. with this guy.
What if he was doing his concert and it was all these fans had no shirts on and everyone had a letter on them? And it spelled out Laugh Again with Jim Gaff. What do you think he would do if they stood up 5 minutes in as he's talking about, he's doing his thing saying like,
why is it working this well?
Yeah. I don't know why. Why is he saying these things?
They shouldn't have painted that.
Sometimes he says things from the point of view that the people there are fans of him at this point. He's selling out 6,000
seats. He's doing the voice as yeah. if.
As
does
if he still,
I don't know if he does the voice so
is
much
disgusted
anymore.
By him. It's like, no, this show is sold out.
Madison Square Garden, yeah, sold out show.
Why is he talking?
You bought a ticket. ticket from a scalper outside. Yeah.
He was doing the voice of the audience that wasn't clicking with his material.
Why did I buy a $60 ticket?
What if he did this part? What if he did a new bit that was like, I just ate so much before the show. I love food so much. And he throws up on stage. That's how much he ate.
It's finally happening.
I had 12 donuts backstage. Why did he do that? Why did he eat so many donuts?
No. Why did he eat all those hot dogs? I just can't do that. All those hot pockets.
Yeah.
How do you get out of Carnegie Hall?
I can't believe he threw up on Carnegie Hall stage.
That is a good question. How do you get out of Carnegie Hall? Practice.
Forget. You got to forget. Unlearn some things.
One of the best things I ever saw was going to Carnegie Hall. Mark Maron at Carnegie Hall. And he was.
Yeah, man. Was he bombing?
No.
That would be funny to see.
Stool? Was he on a stool?
Yeah, on a stool.
He did have a stool. Yeah, he did have a stool. That's all right. You just do your.
We're in LA, baby. We don't know any other way.
No, look, this is LA podcast. Yeah. I don't know what I was thinking bringing my.
If I don't see a clear PG. Channel logo.
Yeah.
I don't know to keep my mouth shut.
If you're not sitting across from Frosty or Heidi or Frank, you don't know what to do
and
anymore.
And the buttons that are glowing and flickering, yeah. That could be any – I always imagine the FCC is on one of those buttons.
So you're at Carnegie Hall.
At Carnegie Hall.
Yeah, man.
And he was doing the show, and then he started just talking to his mother. Whoa. Who was like sitting – one row in front of me, and he was just talking. It was one of the most amazing things.
Wow.
He was so off book, just talking to his mother,
giving
in
her
a
some
sold out Carnegie Hall.
Giving
her
come to see him.
Yeah.
Was it like a positive conversation, or was it kind of?
It was like a soul ooh. Clearing thing, wow. but very funny, but totally off the top of his head.
Is this wow. good enough? I'm here now.
That kind of thing.
What?
Carnegie Hall is not that many seats. A lot of people think it's a big deal to play, right? It's only a couple thou.
Only a couple thou. Sorry. I forgot who I was talking to here.
Whoa, a major status move by Tim Heidecker.
I mean, it
Carnegie
sounds
Hall,
big.
Small venue.
What's the biggest crowd you've been in front of, Tim?
Central Park, sold out.
We did. Concert. I did Central Park with Art.
Garfunkel.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Art. That was Paul Simon that did that. I don't know, maybe three to 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember. We did Town Hall in New York. That was exciting.
It was exciting.
Three nights at Town Hall.
I know. I saw one of the three.
Why did you see three?
Because I.
Was, why would you want to see
you
that
wouldn't
twice?
Let me in for the other two. Was it going to be a hog? You let me in for one night. You were nice enough to put me on the guest list, and I got a nice seat. I could be, oh, hey, can I come back again?
Well, you could
and
have.
Again?
I don't want to. I don't know anybody. Who am I going to put on the guest list? Woody Allen?
Say, mister.
That was the night where you were hanging out with the dudes from
Chapo
Trap House.
Yeah.
You must be pals
Tim
with them, right?
Go on Chapo.
I did. I've gone on it a few times.
Go on Chapo.
You done it. You're a big, yeah, you're a big, you're almost like a member of that troupe. Are they a troupe?
They're a collective.
Yeah.
They're a podcast collective.
I like to see what they do with the money they make with all their socialism.
I think
they're giving it all away, boys.
Limousine liberals. Right?
If you thought the liberals were bad.
You do that.
There's these SUV socialists.
Listen, James, I know we're like a socialist and collective and we all share everything, but we heard you doing Gorka on another show and we feel like that's kind of ours. I'm talking to you about like they have ownership over your Gorka impression there.
There were tense negotiations.
Yeah.
I had to get Sebastian Gorka involved. I was just telling
you. Now, that's a politic man, right?
Yes.
Because, again, I'm not up on that stuff.
That's right. When Heidecker weighs in on politics, mm-hmm. that means that the guys in Albany have really screwed up.
Okay.
That's the final word.
The fat cats in Sacramento have really made a hash of things.
New radio show is the final word.
When Sharpling gets involved.
When Tim – well, Tim's a political guy.
I'm on the pulse.
Are you going to throw your hat in the ring? 2020, everybody else is doing it.
I might as well. I got no stains on my past except all the videos of me rolling around in diarrhea. Half nude.
I challenge you to dig up any dirt with me while you're giving the
30
speech.
Seconds. Boop, yeah. boop.
While you're giving the speech.
Diarrhea.
On the bottom of the live stream, people are posting
things. Yeah.
Somebody just throws a DVD of the billion-dollar movie on stage.
That's all we need. Candidacy over.
Ebert did not like billion-dollar
movie. All right, we're going back to that. That was a bad review.
Was it his
It was
like
one
his
of
last
his last reviews.
You killed Roger Ebert.
He gave up on the movie. It's kind of a funny read. Because he just said, I give up. I don't know what to say anymore.
Where he was like, this isn't a movie or something like that?
I don't know. I mean, he in the review, he also like criticized our character names, like of the people in the movie. Like, what about – then like suggested other funny names that are sounded like funny names from like Marx Brothers movies. Like, yes, Juniper Soggy Bottom. Why couldn't they come up with a name like that?
You should have brought him in.
I mean, I like the guy, but
Dr. Hammerclaw.
Yeah, that kind of shit. Stuff. Bing. Where's the penny? Where's the cursing jar?
The swear jar. We don't have a swear jar here.
Apologies. I know your audience gets all uptight about that.
Yeah, they're so freaked out right now. Hey, Jason, are there any good calls?
Yeah, let's go ahead. Mike, which one do you recommend?
Line three,
you're on.
Line three. Wow. Who's on? Who do we got?
This is Adam in Kansas City.
Hi, Adam. How are you? You're here with me and James Adomian and Tim Heidecker. What's up?
This is a big thrill. I was just.
Well, it sounds like it.
This is a big thrill.
I was calling since you were on the road again this week. I know you're a traveled individual. Are you familiar with the Marriott brand of hotels, Moxie?
The Marriott brand of hotels?
Yes.
It's called the like a sub-brand called the Moxie?
Yes.
I don't know the Moxie. Now, what's that?
So it's the type of place that's got like crying Jordan throw pillows in the lounge. It's pretty cool.
So it's that kind of place? I've never heard of that kind of place. It's a meme hotel?
Yeah. Yes. Apparently, and I just came across it researching family trip that's coming up, and looking at the amenities, there's no pool, no work center, but there is a podcast booth.
Pool, no office.
So there's a
neither direction.
This sounds
behavior.
Like a comedy routine. There's a podcast booth in the hotel, but no pool.
You can look up the Moxie Hotel in Chicago, and there is a podcast.
Moxie, M-O-X-I?
Yeah.
Moxie, see? We got a podcasting booth, see?
Yeah.
So
hold the pre-roll.
I want to thank you for that great picture you posted of me.
I just saw it.
That's Alec.
This one, Tom?
Yeah.
Wow. You,
no?
Are these posted in real time?
It's a good one.
It's a keeper.
That's a keeper.
Ladies and gentlemen, Artie Lang.
In full recline.
That is going to make me... I'm just dying.
Like
I'm
one of sorry, the Roman Tom. Emperors.
Well, you look like you're having a good time.
Oh, yeah.
Seize them and bring them to me.
By all means, take pictures of me in profile, leaning back, sweaty, with headphones on. It's my good side.
Now you can sell headshots to compete with Mike.
Hey, Mike, you hear that? Tim knows who you are. Who's on? Is this caller still on with the Moxie thing? Good. Okay, who's next?
Oh, I thought that was...
Not yet on that.
Oh.
Hold on. No, give me another one.
Line 4, you're on.
Bothering you?
Hey, how's it going, Tom?
Oh. Hey, what's up?
Not much. But I do have to say Tim's album, if he's still there, right?
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
He can't leave.
Oh. That is upsetting. His new album is like a total bop. It is the best.
A bop. It's a bop. Do you know bops, Tom?
A bop.
Yeah. You say it's a bop. It's the best.
It slaps.
Yeah.
It slaps.
You liked it.
Slaps hard.
Are you saying you liked it or not?
All right. I am saying I liked it, yes.
Thank you.
Hey,
all
give
right.
me line 5. Give me line 5. This is first,
they can't tell when they're complimenting you, and the next thing they're burning flags.
Line 5?
Line 5.
A caller on line 5, I want you to not say who you are, but just see if people can guess who you are.
Can we guess?
I certainly hope that people would be able to discover who I would be just from the sound of my voice.
Oh, it's Will Ferrell doing the... Oh,
wait a minute. Is this somebody in a third thing?
I was staying at the Westin because there was
Hey folks, guess what? It's me, Andy Kindler. You thought it was why are you staying at the Westin? Were they all booked up at the Easton? Am I wrong?
Richard Pryor, what's next?
Richard Previous?
Hey,
what a flow. What a flow.
Andy Kindler. Before the show.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
It's been too long, Tom. I have a new cell phone number because I got semi-doxed.
I know. I just got... you got what?
A new cell phone number because I was semi... Whatever they call that, doxed or whatever the thing is.
You were semi-doxed.
Well,
do you want me to read your new one out over the air?
No!
I can. My favorite thing that Andy does, he likes to tell this thing about MASH. Would you tell us about MASH, Andy?
It's unbelievable. You know, MASH just came out on DVD recently. I don't know if you've been following the news. Just came out on DVD and Blu-ray. Also, you can watch...
Is that you updating the thing by saying Blu-ray?
Yeah, Blu-ray. 4K. Has anyone seen that MASH is available in 4K?
Is it FK?
Also, you can see it on channel 5, 7, 9, 11, the MASH channel, the Radar Network, hotlips.net.
MASH channel.
FrankBurns.org.
FrankBurns.org.
I like that you can go to Andy Kindler, like, not to be like, hey, you got anything to plug? But it's like something to tear down out there.
Now, Andy...
Where is he? Cross town? Like, why is he
Andy,
here?
Yeah, Andy, why don't you come knock on the door?
What could you possibly be doing?
I didn't invite him because, I did invite him, but I guess he didn't get the memo.
If he said anything to my old cell phone, I didn't get it. But I'm so sorry, Tom, I could not be there with you in person tonight. Unfortunately, I'm all the way in the valley at Sherman
Oaks. I'm cleaning out my Rolodex.
I think I'm not funny anymore. James, when did I lose my sense of humor? About a year ago?
This is getting nasty.
No, he's getting nasty to himself.
No, you took a loan out on it. That's all. It's just highly leveraged.
I'm taking self-deprecation to the next level. I don't even think I deserve to be alive. Thank you.
No, that's not self-deprecating, Andy. That means you're clinically depressed.
Andy in Sherman Oaks, you're over Tom Blankus. Hello.
1-800-5800-TOM. Coming up after these messages, why you should push your girlfriend from a moving car.
Do you care?
Do you care?
I'm great! You'll blow the radio show.
I like his whine.
Is he still on the air?
He's demoted severely to like an obscure internet website show.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, he does like a wine show also now.
Right.
I was on his wine show many years ago, I'm sad to say.
You were on the wine show.
The W-H-I-N-E wine show.
Right.
I treat a Sangiovese wine like they're a woman on a date. Badly.
Now, Andy.
It's too bad that people don't remember him that much. Sad. Yes.
Really?
Really? Now, Andy, when is this horse racing movie you filmed coming out?
I don't know yet. So that's why I haven't been talking about it. Hey, but Tom, I'm going to be in Calgary this weekend. Do you have listeners in Calgary?
Yes. Where are you performing in Calgary?
I think it's called the Sled Island Festival.
I've done that festival before.
Sled Island?
Sled.
Sled Island.
The Sled Island Festival. So you're going to be at the only festival where they paper the room.
It's called the Four Wall Festival.
I don't even know.
You know, Tom, they don't know four. They don't know from four walling these guys. They're two biggest stars to know what we used to do in the old days when we would take the door and the bar would take the drink.
Okay. Andy, what's the first joke you told that was funny? What's the first thing when you knew you were funny?
Okay, well, actually...
Was it that MASH joke you just did?
No, but honestly, it was in a car. When I was in a car when I was a little boy, and I saw a sign that said, put a tiger in your tank, and I thought it said, pewter a tiger, and the family... went nuts.
The Kindler station wagon?
It was a Chevrolet car of some kind. But no, there wasn't. We did have a station wagon.
Or a Pontiac.
I was in the back seat. Yeah. I'm sorry.
So
I brought the entire show down. You guys were rocking before I got
Andy, when you're up at the Sled Island Festival, you know who's up there. You should give a shout to is the kid from Different Strokes, Coleman. So when you're up there, call Calgary.
Do you know that Tim Heidecker has never said anything to me that wasn't sarcastic? And I was actually starting to jot it down. I'm jotting it down. Oh, Heidecker got a friend up there.
I was kidding. Andy.
Not once have you ever said anything sincerely to me, including I enjoyed your show.
Wow. I can only speak the truth.
Oh, that's your curse.
Yeah.
He's a truth teller.
I can only tell the truth, but never directly.
I'm a big fan of yours, and I consider, being in your presence an honor every time I get the opportunity.
Well, that's a nice thing to hear, Andy, right?
Tim is a very nice guy, but he's extremely nice. He's extremely talented, and I've always been intimidated because he's from the new humor. He's more alternative than me.
Right.
And so I'm always intimidated around him and his partner, who's like 9 feet tall.
We considered beating the crap out of you years ago. Like, we saw you at a club, like, let's take this guy once and for all down.
I thought I was alternative. These guys they're like a free for all. Huh?
No rules.
Now, Andy, who's getting your goat these days? Oh, we always do this when we call the show. Who's getting your goat?
Well, I'll tell you something. I was told by my wife and all of my friends that I'm not allowed to make fun of Jay Leno anymore because there's enough already. But I was watching This Is True on Andy, a Jeff
not to make fun of Jay Leno.
Documentary. Jeff Dunham documentary on A&E. Mm-hmm. And who pops up? Jay Leno. Now, can anyone guess what the connection is between Jay Leno and Jeff Dunham?
They drive cars together?
Why are they friends? They buy crazy cars. Jeff Dunham has a Batmobile, and Jay Leno's with Jeff Dunham in the Batmobile, and Jeff Dunham says, I always got the feeling he didn't like my kind of comedy with the ventriloquist and things. And Jay Leno's like, no, you know, I just concentrate on the joke. That's all I care about. But he doesn't care if the joke is coming out of Mortimer Snerd
or Mortimer Snerd.
He respects the craft.
Half of the special was about him trying to justify why Ahmed, the dead terrorist, isn't racist. But they never say that maybe it's racist because of the name Ahmed. It's not Tim McVeigh, the dead terrorist. So he spends half the time trying to defend why that's a cook. He goes, everything's so politically incorrect these days.
Like your buddy Bill Maher, huh? He hates that political correctness.
Yeah, you guys are together on that. It's always good to log on to the internet and just see what are Bill Maher and Andy Kindler agreeing on today.
More like Bill Less.
Now, Andy, what's
I mean, seriously, I think that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has gone too far. Am I wrong? Am I looking to the left and the right compulsively because I imagine there's people that like my jokes better on either side of my shoulders than in front of me?
Andy? Andy, are you gone?
Oh, my God. Did Andy Kindler?
I think you killed him with laughter.
Is there any water out there? I need some water.
Oh, there's
water.
One right here.
Is that for...
That's all for you. Andy?
Arrowhead.
Andy Kindler.
What's wrong? Wait, not enough Kindler in your diet? Huh? Steel-cut Kindler. Am I wrong?
We lost him?
Yeah, we lost him. He hung up.
Okay.
His minutes ran out on his cell phone.
Send a salami to your boy in the Andy Kindler. The jitterbug stopped working.
Studio, any good calls?
Oh, that's right. He has a new cell phone. God knows it.
I don't know how to get this jitterbug phone working.
I don't know why I did.
Line four.
Hey. Hello? Line four, you're on.
Hello, Tom.
Hi, who's this? Oh, I know who this is. Is it true?
It's very true.
This is a guy from Huntsville, Alabama. Right?
Space Center.
Huntsville.
Well, we don't
Jason
say like
from Huntsville.
Yeah, we don't say it like Huntsville.
Well, I do.
Well, that's your prerogative.
So what's up? What's up, Jason? How are you? This is one of my favorite people who's ever called.
Here's some waters that can spill.
That's very nice of you to say that, Tom.
What's up?
Well, there are strange things happening in Alabama. We're trying to rival Florida, I think.
In what way?
There's a news story today published in more than one news source about a squirrel that was an attack squirrel that was fed crystal meth.
A squirrel in Alabama that was fed crystal meth?
Yes, yes.
That sounds like a dog bites man story.
No, it's an absolute, Well, it's a squirrel bites meth story.
Squirrel bites meth?
Hold the pre-roll.
Yeah.
Anybody hear about this squirrel that
I don't have an answering machine at home. I have a callback machine.
Find a way to tie that into to the Menendez brothers.
That's taking enough of this squirrel story.
Tell us more about the squirrel.
So the squirrel, here's the first thing about the squirrel is I don't want to spread misinformation.
Okay.
So apparently the fact that this squirrel was on meth was just the word of the gentleman who was selling the meth. He had told people he had an attack squirrel that he had meth.
That he
and the death. Go ahead.
No, I'm listening to you. You go.
The deputies found the squirrel. The Limestone County Sheriff's Department found the squirrel in the cage. And I saw video of the squirrel, and it's really hard to tell if a squirrel's on meth or not. Because
was this Dale from Chippendale? Kind of, I heard he was a hard time.
Well, you know.
Wow. That killed in Alabama.
I got a scoff from Heidecker, but the stars fell over Alabama.
So the squirrel, how do you know, it's like, you don't know squirrels on, like, you don't have a control squirrel for that, right?
You can't tell. All squirrels kind of look like they're on meth. The news story made a point to point out that there's no safe way to test a squirrel for meth.
Because they all have rabies.
Yeah.
So you find a squirrel without meth, but it's also rabid, like all other squirrels.
You just assume that every squirrel is rabid. Yeah, that's what I do. But at any rate, they let the squirrel go, which I think was a mistake because they should have used that squirrel to track down meth labs.
That's actually a pretty good point. They could have followed the squirrel because he's now got like a hankering for
Do you?
Yeah, he's got the taste.
Do you do a lot of Monday morning quarterbacking about squirrel enforcement?
Animal control?
I send a lot of emails to the police. I don't get a lot of them. I don't get a lot of responses. I do a lot of this is what y'all should have done.
Now this guy for
emails in Alabama only go one way though.
They do.
They don't have it all hooked up.
They only go.
You have to. Yeah. They send a boy to you with a missive, handwritten.
That's how they get. That's email.
I'm just trashing on Alabama during this whole call. I don't care.
That's bold. Good luck touring there.
I'll take it from you, Tim Heidecker. You've paid your dues.
I understand. Thank you.
Yeah,
I played in Birmingham.
Birmingham's a nice town. I live in Huntsville, and Huntsville is an anomaly. It's not like the rest of Alabama. Birmingham.
That's where all the scientists are quarantined.
Absolutely. All the scientists, we have them in a cage here, and we make them build rockets. But yeah, Birmingham's actually very Alabama, and I like Birmingham. I like Birmingham a lot.
Were there a lot of Nazis in Huntsville after the war, Jason?
There were a handful. There were more than your average. We probably had an average, higher than average Nazi population.
Because they knew, how to build
V2 rockets.
Yes.
The difference in whether you were a war criminal or not is, do you know how to build a rocket?
Yeah, because otherwise you're an aeronautics expert.
Yes.
If you know how to build a rocket after World War II.
Werner von Braun.
Yeah.
Free pass.
Werner von Braun?
Free pass.
We say Brown.
Dump, dump, dabba, dabba, dabba.
Let him in, let him in, let him in.
We have a civic center named after Werner von Braun here.
Someone's ringing the bell. That was about the Nazis coming in.
Operation Paperclip.
Do me a favor. Open the door.
And let them in.
Right.
There's a cold war.
Let them in.
Yeah. Doom. Chairman Khrushchev. Do-do-do. JFK. Do-do-do-do. Leonid Brezhnev. Do-do-do.
These are all communists you're listing. I'm confused by the timeline here. It's got to be.
Cold War.
Jason.
You want Werner von Braun?
Anything else, Jason, from Huntsville?
Well, I don't want to jam the pipes, so I will call it an evening.
Thank you for calling. It was sweet to talk to you. I hope everything's good down there.
Great story.
Oh, yeah, they're good. It's good.
Would you have preferred?
Bye-bye.
Joseph Goebbels.
There you go. Thank you.
I don't know the two-syllable guy.
Ava Braun!
Da-da-da-da.
Heinrich Himmler.
There's others.
The Desert Fox.
The Desert Fox.
Hey,
butter wouldn't melt. They put it in a pie.
Well, you know, after the whole war and everything, they have moved.
Did the war happen at all?
Well, you know,
gotta ask yourself if the war happened at all.
How bad would John Lennon have been on Twitter?
Oh, I'm convinced he would be fully alt-right, like a Trump guy. That's my
You think so?
I think he would have been disillusioned by the left, you know. I don't, they're all worried about political correctness.
We tried. Love didn't work.
You know, I like is Trump. Trump is, you know, he's real, finally a real politician.
We're going to do
you
a Trump in.
Yeah, he's not trying to pull the wool over your eyes.
Yoko and I are in bed for Trump.
This is a message. Vote for Trump.
All the other guys fall in line, right?
On October they've been on the 20th, we will be registering voters for Trump.
You know, John told me about Trump. You know, he says he's all right. So, yeah.
And this is their third reunion tour they've been doing now.
You know, we all went back to India to make sure it was okay, and Modi was president, yeah. So he was giving a real thumbs up for the far right.
Yeah, you know, John sort of was the first one to sort of see Trump as kind of the next level, you know, so speaking real.
I don't agree with everything he says, you know. Yes, you do, Paul.
Picture this. Beatles don't, John Lennon doesn't die in 1980,
the bullet
right?
Misses.
Track out the 80s with this.
Right.
Hits Woody Allen.
Jesus, you know, I've been, you know, incidentally, I've been shot. You know?
It could have been a moose.
The moose.
He's trying to shoot a moose. So they don't break up, and they get back together probably at Live Aid. So 85 Beatles get back together.
Yeah,
probably do a new album.
Yep.
The traveling.
There's a huge stampede. I think Live Aid would not have been able to withstand a Beatles reunion.
Uh-huh.
Massive stampede. 500 people die.
Yeah, I mean, I think they maybe
nobody knows.
Maybe they underwhelm. Please. Maybe they underwhelm at Live Aid. They underwhelm at Live Aid.
They get blown off the stage by.
Because what didn't Led Zeppelin have a bad set at Live Aid?
Yes, they did with Phil Collins drumming for them.
Did not mesh well.
Phil Collins was begging the Stairway to Heaven to get back together with him.
So they have an underwhelming Live Aid, but they say our reputation's tarnished. We've got to go back in and make an album.
Beatles, picture this. They still have like 15 minutes because it's live. Everybody only had 15 or 20 minutes. What did they do? They're going to be like, do Hey Jude.
Let It Be. I don't think you could do Hey Jude in 15. I mean, that's
final
already,
song could have been Hey Jude.
That's already 7 minutes, though. Do they do a truncated Hey Jude?
Yeah.
They do Martha, My Dear. You got to do Martha, My Dear.
Oh, they would do a medley, of course, because they were fanatical about medleys. Hey Jude, don't be a fool. Take a sad song. They're doing different songs during the thing. Yeah. They're so rushed, they're just singing over each other.
Yeah. With Billy Preston, does he stay with them? Billy is now in the group full-time.
I think Billy Preston he's the fifth member.
Mm-hmm.
When everybody's getting mad at Yoko, right? Why don't they just invite Billy Preston and Yoko to join the band? Make it a 6-piece. Just be like, meh, come on in. Add Linda, a 7-piece.
Yes, Linda was, I think, a slightly underrated musician. I like her.
I like Linda.
I like the singing in that Ram album.
Yeah.
The duets.
So then,
nice blend.
So they get back together.
Right.
Do they do a new album?
Well, do we subscribe to the idea that a lot of the Beatles solo songs end up on this Beatles album?
So does the Wings album start erasing from top to bottom as they perform at Live Aid? That timeline is just gone?
Well, if you're saying they did all those solo albums in the 70s.
But now their 80s work
has
to constitute a new Beatles album. Right.
So if they were erasing from top to bottom, that was just faulty manufacturing of the cover.
Yes, that would be something wrong.
You'd do like a monkey, like that Monkees album, Pool It.
Which was a fun album. Yeah. Where they took the album. It was like, what if we take these three dudes who are
not getting
in their
along.
mid-50s, shove them in a swimming pool shirtless,
uh-huh.
and then we'll call the album Pool It.
Well, would Don Was be involved in this Beatles 80s album?
Probably say a Jeff Lynne might be involved in it.
That early in the 80s, you think?
Sure.
Yeah, I guess the Cloud Nine
is Jeff Lynne, right?
Yes. Here's the cover of Pool It by the Monkees.
I've turned
this around.
I've seen it, but
it's a real treat. Imagine this was your favorite band.
Yeah.
And then that's their album cover with them just laying in a pool.
Shot in Tarzana, probably at somebody's pool.
Get in the pool. Make
not a lot of pool. Not a lot of fun. Not a lot of memorable tracks on Pool It.
No.
Not a lot of Monkees-esque sounding tracks.
No, there was a came up a little light.
Yeah.
A little light. Monkees came a little light.
Was
on that
before their re? That was after their comeback, right?
Was it that after? Was, yes. That was the end of the comeback. Right. That was the go away.
The go away.
That was the go back.
Ding, ding, was, ding, ding, chlorine, chlorine.
They had that was chlorine, then, chlorine. This is now.
Yes, that was
that's
one.
Kind of like a, sounds like a Monkees song.
Yes. But that album had nothing on it. And.
The Monkees.
Mickey Dolan snubbed me. You know that. I told you that. Mickey Dolan snubbed me.
No.
At a thing. I like walked up to him at a.
Turned
at,
your back to him? Turned his back to you?
He was dressed head to toe in like white with a Panama hat like he does a lot of times.
Blending in disguise.
It was at a thing at the U.S. Open. Cause I went cause I worked on a TV show that got us. It was the only perk we ever got was getting into the tennis match. And there was like the big party beforehand and there was. Mickey Dolenz was there and Tim Blake Nelson. And that was the extent of the
celebrity
list. So I saw him and he was by himself and I went over. And I just said, I just wanted to say hi and say I'm a huge fan. And the movie Head is one of my favorite movies ever. And he just, looked at me and went, meh. And then kind of turned away. And then
you probably had. Did you know that you have maybe knew some mutual people? Because he knows some people we know.
Well, he said, meh. I kind of didn't continue the conversation after he went.
I had a 20. Meh. I had a 20-minute phone call with Mick. With Mick, at least 20 minutes, because he did a cameo on this Steve Brühl special we did, and I had to sell him on the idea of why we wanted him. And it was a long, laborious conversation about
where you're trying to show.
You're trying to avoid the thing, which is like, well, we're asking you to do it because you're Mickey Dolenz, right?
We're making fun of you.
We're not there's a little bit of that sort of. It's not just because we love your acting; it's because you're the. It's like it was a sitcom. It was like a parody of a sitcom,
right?
And it was like, oh, here's Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees.
Your walk on is funny in and of itself.
Yeah. I don't want to do cameos. Like, it's not good for my reel, he said.
And then you have to be like, baby, we get the best cinematographers.
And he did it anyways, but.
That was in the grocery store, right?
Yeah, Bag Boy.
Yeah. Bag Boy Mickey Dolenz. Yeah, so, look, guys. This is a real treat. I got my dudes here.
It's a pleasure.
At Tim Heidecker.
Yeah.
But it's just Tim Heidecker.
Shuffling me out?
It's Tim Heidecker, at Tim Heidecker.
Yeah.
Huge social media presence. Tweets like crazy.
Wow. That's not what I want to be known for.
The Instagram is on fire. LinkedIn, he's out of control.
I'm not on LinkedIn.
Well, he's a real bitch troll on LinkedIn. Really sassy.
Not under my own name.
Really sassy, I think.
He's got a new album out called What
the Heck? The Heck is Going On? What in the Sam Hill is going on here?
No, this album is called What is the.
I feel like David Crosby.
The Heart Between.
What does the heart do?
What does the heart do? No, the album is called.
One morning we woke up and we knew you were gone.
I like that Crosby, Stills, and Nash stuff.
I like that sound.
I like them. I like the Deja Vu album. Come on. It's good.
We are stardust.
We are stardust.
We are golden. And we've got to get ourselves back to the car. Do you have the rights?
I do. Yes. Keep going. Keep going. I own the catalog.
That was a Joni Mitchell song. That was a Joni Mitchell song.
You know, we were in Laurel Canyon all those years. We were up in the canyon, and it was like, you know, Joni Mitchell would live in one house, and you'd walk down the street, and you'd think there was
Her for a while. I dated Joni Mitchell.
And we all dated each other.
I don't speak with David anymore.
You know, one time...
a terrible rift.
They don't like him anymore.
You can't take it. You can only be an asshole for so long, and then you have to cut him off.
And then you really got to help out with some analing. If you're going to be an a-hole for that long, analing is going to enter the equation. If you're in Laurel Canyon, right there above Crescent Heights, man.
Take a call.
No, this is better.
I remember one time I woke up right there on Mulholland, and I said, I don't know if I'm pulling on a harp. I don't know if I'm sucking on a harp or if some guy.
Okay.
Or if Art Garfunkel's sitting on me.
The entire experience was luminous.
Do 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 do
Fridge is gone empty. Oh. Not sure what I'm staying.
This is from the new Tim
Heidecker. Yeah, you just picked a track at random.
What the Broken Hearted Do.
Are you doing the pressure of the guy, or is this all your song?
This is me. No clowning. But it sounds terrible in here.
She don't pick up her phone like she
used. Oh, but that's it. There's a little taste. There's a game in there.
I'll give you a taste of it.
But she don't pick up her phone.
Well, I mean, I'm performing.
You're performing.
It's not a gag, though.
But you're wearing, like, you're not wearing, like, a costume when you...
No. They're just songs I wrote.
Mm-hmm.
Put on,
I'm sorry.
What?
It's like we've backed... It's an ambush interview. We've backed you into a corner.
They're just songs. It's music. Hey, man. Just use my voice in the song. I'm, you know, if you could do it, you would.
A John Lennon, Boy George-esque.
You could do it. Interview. You would.
So this album is a hit, and it's out now, and people can get it.
All right, I'll get out of here. Jesus.
No, I'm wrapping you. Well, look, you can stay here forever.
I'm happy to be here.
Forever dog.
I'm trying to wait till traffic calms down out there. But keep talking.
It's snarling. It's rough.
So you also can be seen at Let's... Save the Future on Thursday if you're in Los Angeles.
At the Ace Hotel, Ace Theater.
The theater at the
beautiful Ace. Beautiful theater.
Yes, very beautiful. And on this bill.
Historic.
Sarah Silverman, Tig Notaro, Tim Heidecker, Langston Kerman, Chelsea Peretti, Paul Scheer, Kiri Johnson, Joe Mandy, Nick Thorburn from Islands, and
Nick
more.
Thorburn.
And more.
And more. Oh, that's what I'm delivering. You're delivering more? Surprise.
I think I know who it is.
I bet you do.
I think I know who it is.
Don't spoil it, Tom.
It's going to be Pete Best. The original Beatles drummer.
Ashes of Pete Best. He's passed, right?
I think he's still alive.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's like, if there's one thing I'm going to make clear is that I'm not committing suicide. I want to make everybody understand that Pete Best is not going to kill himself, no matter how
every day
logical
I
that
try,
would seem.
I tuck myself off the fucking ledge.
There's not that many. It's been pointed out to me that it's the same ledge that the Beatles played that farewell concert on.
Savile Row.
And now the Underculture. That's the hit podcast.
Not
by
a hit. 50 Jay. Listeners. A core group of listeners.
Oh, that's not true.
A crack team of elite listeners.
So it's like SEAL Team 6, but with podcast listeners.
SEAL Team 3.
Okay.
The Underculture.
What is it about this Underculture then?
That was what was happening in the 60s in London.
It was, you know, it was its own Underculture. You never knew you'd open a door.
The banana. We used to go to the Electric Banana, didn't we?
The bananas and pajamas were big back then. They were always coming down the stairs.
We saw Jimi
LSD.
Hendrix at Wednesday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon play a show. He played. He played the entire. He played Rhapsody in Blue. He'd never heard anything like it. He'd never heard anything like it. The whammy pezzle. The whammy.
Back-racked shows in the bathtub.
I'm going to play this before I say goodbye to you guys. I'm going to let you hear a little bit of this Michael Caine stuff I've been pulling from his audiobooks.
Over the years, his audiobooks on acting, my life.
Just tell me what you think of this clip.
Does he read his own audiobooks, or does he have like a voiceover artist?
He reads them.
The Len Film Studio itself, I wanted to go for a pee, and they directed me to the toilet. I could smell it 50 yards away, and when I got there, I found the filthiest toilet I have ever seen in my life. I went outside and peed up against the soundstage wall, which I noticed several other men had done before me. So this is where my career had ended, I thought to myself. In the toilet, I'm done. Back then, Beverly Hills, which now features some of the world's most expensive and luxurious boutiques, was quite a sleepy place with just a few shops, including, bizarrely, a hardware store on Beverly Drive. I once nipped in there for a ball of string, and there was Fred Astaire looking for sandpaper.
What?
When I was lining up by the till, I found myself beside Danny Kaye, who was buying a single light bulb. It was in that store that I had what still ranks as my most terrifying experience in America. I was browsing through the power tool display, and I popped my head round a corner. And there, in the next aisle, was Klaus Kinski buying an axe. Never has a shop full of DIY aficionados cleared so quickly.
He sounds like he's fading. He's really catching his breath in there.
There were many highlights.
Aisle 6, there was Scrooge. He was buying all kinds of hardware to continue torturing his poor little cartoon friends.
Success or failure, we all need our own personal survival kit to see us through.
That's the first time anyone's ever
for me, it's feeding the ducks with my three grandchildren, making chill-out music compilations. I own hundreds of chill-out CDs, and I've even made one of my own.
Here's a good one.
There were many highlights of that night, but I'll never forget rapping with Ice-T. I actually surprised myself. I wasn't bad.
My name's Michael Caine. I like, and I like to act.
I was browsing through the power tool.
I like to kill cops. I kill the bloody coppers because they're coppers to begin with.
My name's Michael Caine, and I like to act. When you hear my raps, you'll think you're gone cracked.
Thank God for dark brown trousers. The final blow came when we were shooting in the...
What?
We were staying in a beautiful hotel, Amar Villas, which boasts that you can see the Taj Mahal from every room.
Taj Mahal.
And I can vouch for this.
Atlantic City.
Although I would have preferred not to. I had obviously eaten something that disagreed with me, not I hastened to add from the hotel restaurant, and found myself confined to the toilet one afternoon. And yes, you could even see the Taj Mahal from there.
Oh, my God.
And then I realized I was bent forward down the toilet, and I'd imagined that the Taj Mahal was what I had deposited into it.
That's delightful.
My defecation looks like a timeless architectural memorial to love itself.
At almost exactly the same time, a popular newspaper decided, I don't know why, to publish a long piece of the 15 worst films I'd ever made. No need to look it up. I'll tell you what the article decided they were. The Swarm, The Hand, Water, Jaws Beyond the Poseidon Adventure, Ashanti, Blue Ice, On Deadly Ground, Blame It on Rio, Jaws of Revenge, The Island, Jaws, The Last Witch Hunter, Bullseye,
Cloud
Mr.
Boy.
Destiny, Journey 2, The Mysterious Island,
The Curtain,
Austin Powers in Goldmember, and Quicksand.
5 o'clock.
Austin Powers in Goldfinger? That's not something he needs to own. He's just...
I was in a movie called Brick.
All right, guys. The show is, I'm going to wrap the show up now. James Adomian, you're so funny. This is the first time you've ever been in on the show.
Never been in the show.
You called in once.
I think I did.
Thank you for that. Yeah.
No thanks. But that okay. for the
phone call
earlier, yes.
9 years ago?
Yes. I appreciate that.
Great. You're welcome. No, seriously, it's so much fun to finally have you do the show.
We rap. It's like a little Laurel Canyon thing here.
Yeah.
It's the L.A. magic, man.
And you and I, first time in person.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I mean, we've spent a lot of social time together, yes, but not we've hung on out, the show.
But this is the first time you've been in studio, because usually it's you or it's you and Greg.
Right. And on the phone.
And it's on the phone. Now, you have a book. What's the book? The book comes out.
Oh, the On Cinema Reader.
Yeah,
if comes out in a couple of weeks. If you're fans of On Cinema, it's a extensive collection of – we didn't write it. Somebody else wrote it, but it's a episode guide of the show. It's extremely detailed, very funny. If you like the show, and it's a good – Michael Caine would enjoy it while he's staring at the Taj Mahal, if you know what I mean. One of those kind of books.
Yeah, and it's a hit. Drag City gets it.
Drag City's putting it out.
Drag City gets it. So, guys, thank you so much for being a part of the show.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
I'm going to do one call.
And will you, will you dump us like you dump the callers?
No, you can leave with dignity. I appreciate it. Make sure you have your $50 that I gave you.
$50.
And what's your parking? Your parking. You were here. What's your parking situation, James?
I took the train.
Okay.
So what's that? $250.
$250.
Yeah, he's gonna do it, dude.
No. It's not an earwolf.
Flush with cash.
Ah! It's not. We run it differently than earwolf.
That's the new future.
They keep their
guests
money.
Guests should be paid for
podcast. Guests should be paid for podcast.
Okay.
Thank you.
I guess I'll see myself
out. Yeah. Yep.
I'll see you tomorrow or Thursday.
Thursday at yeah. Let's Save the Future.
Backstage.
Do they have to unlock the door when we leave?
I think so, probably.
Hey, can I? Can you give me? Is there anybody on the phone?
The line, the hotline is not on, but other lines are.
Okay, give me another one.
Okay.
Okay. I'll talk to you later.
Line three.
Thank you.
You're on.
Hey guys. Hey Tom.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Who's this?
It's Mike from Virginia.
You called earlier.
I did, and there was a bunch of disruption. I was actually trying to listen to you guys while calling, so I apologize.
Well, that's all right. Don't worry. So what did you want to say?
In about, a week, I'm actually going out to visit my sister in California, and you're out there now, so I
mm-hmm.
I thought you might give me some places to check out.
Yeah, check out or go to Paquito Moss and eat food there, and that's kind of it. You can hang up on this guy now.
Go to another one.
Who else? Who else we got?
Line two, you're on.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, who's this?
This is Thomas from Houston.
Thomas, what's going on in Houston tonight?
Not much. How's L.A., Tom?
It's pretty sweet.
What's the topic this evening, sir?
There's no topic. You just tell me what you want to tell me. Why'd you call?
I'm a big fan, long-time listener. And
that's
my
nice.
Buddy Jealous. He turned me on to you way back when.
I appreciate your buddy doing that.
He's a good guy. He's always looking out for me. You would appreciate his musical knowledge, I can just tell.
Well, he sounds like a great guy. What's his name? You want to say hi to him?
Nah, screw him. No. His name is Danny.
Danny. Okay, Danny, thank you for bringing this guy into my life.
Don't say it just yet, Tom.
All right, you have a good night.
You too.
Bye. Anyone else? Jason?
We've got another call. Line?
What line?
Line one, you're on.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
I'm good. Who's this?
This is Christopher in Portland. I hope you can hear me okay. I'm sorry about my reception.
No, that's all right. You sound good. Portland, which Portland?
The good one on the West Coast in Oregon. I'm the same time zone as you right now.
Okay. What's going on?
Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you for all the years of doing this for basically free. I have really bad depression, and thank you for cheering me up. I've been sitting here listening and painting, and I just wanted to talk to you because I know you're a big music fan. You play great records on your show. Are there any bands that have come out in the last 2 or 3 years, like really new bands that you're on top of that maybe I wouldn't know about? I'd love to get some recommendations.
Well, let's see what I can tell you to listen to. Do you like music that makes that's nice and quiet sometimes?
I like all kinds of stuff. I do like when you play quiet stuff. Silkworm and things like that are great.
How about Mary? Do you know Mary Lattimore? Do you know who she is?
No, I've never heard her before.
Well, she's this harpist who's really good. You'd like her.
Oh, cool.
She's very talented. And she did an album with our friend Mac McCon from Superchunk that just came out. And she did one earlier in the year with Meg Baird called Ghost Forests. And she's got her own albums. It's all good.
Well, thank you. Is she anything like Helen Money? Do you know the lady that plays the cello, Helen Money?
I don't know her.
She's on Touch and Go, and she does stuff with Steve Albini. She's really good. You mentioned Superchunk, and they're one of my favorite bands. They're actually how I found out about your show.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, all I've right. seen them live a bunch of times. And yeah, thank you, Tom. Thank you for playing all great right. records.
Of course. Well, you have a great night.
You as well, Tom. Thank you.
Okay. Who all else right. we got?
Line 5.
Line 5. Let's do Line 5.
Line 5, you're on.
Hey, Tom. Lance here in Newbridge Springs. How you doing?
I'm good.
Good. Sounds like you're having a blast out there in Lipstick City, right?
Yeah, it's a good time. Yeah.
You scarfed some Grimace proportions at Paquito Moss?
Did I what?
Did you scarf some Grimace proportions? You remember that, don't you?
Grimace proportions.
Yes.
You mean like Grimace the purple slob from the McDonald's commercials?
I can't believe you don't – you know what movie that's from, right?
Oh, wait. No, this is from – what is that? Is that an Encino Man?
A better film than that.
A better film than a better film than Encino Man? What?
Yes. And I'll also say it's a better film – than the film that it is the sequel to which it is the sequel.
Oh, let me guess. It's a better film than it is the sequel to.
No,
it's the sequel.
It's a better film than the film for which it is the sequel.
Well, you don't need to say it to me that way. You're
sounding. Well, I'm very into literature.
Okay. Well, what is the film?
Vacation 2.
National Lampoon Vacation 2?
Yes.
Okay. And they said you were scarfing some Grimace proportions?
Remember how the kids are just brand new in that movie?
Yeah, they swapped the kids out.
They did. Red hair kid says it to some chick he's trying mm-hmm. to make time with.
Yeah, he was good. Anthony Michael Hall.
No, the kid after him.
So the kid after him, yeah, he was very redheaded.
I call him Red.
You call him Red?
I do. You know what Paquito Moss means, don't you?
More Paquito?
No, it means little mouse.
Little mouse. I don't know if that's what it means. That's not a great name for a Mexican restaurant.
Well,
little
here's
mouse.
Here's the backstory. The very first tacos that came off the grill, or the griddle, is it a griddle or a grill?
It's either.
Apparently the very first one, just by chance, had a little mouse in it.
In the grill.
No,
or
in
on
the
it.
Taco. And the man served it to his first customer, and the customer was so cool. Here's what happened. He could have had that place shut down for life.
Mm-hmm.
He takes his little taco. He opens it up. He sees the lettuce. He sees the cheese. He sees the meat, and he sees this little mouse. And mm-hmm. he just flicks the mouse out of the taco and proceeds to eat and winked at the owner because the owner knew the mouse was in there too, and they had this bond for life.
The owner and the taco eater and the mouse.
And the mouse, yes.
Well, that's kind of a sweet story.
And the mouse lived for like 50 years.
I don't know if that's true.
Sounds.
kind of plausible.
No, okay. I don't know how long mice live. I don't think they live 50 years, though.
Well, we could wager on that and talk about it all night, but I have a question for you.
What's that?
Is it hot out there?
Is it hot out there? Yes, it's been very hot on occasion. Yeah, it's some very hot days.
I see. Very weird weather back here in Newbridge. There was a giant hailstorm last night. I don't know if you heard about that. The hail was huge. Some of it was the size of golf balls.
The size of golf balls? That is pretty big for hail.
Oh, Tom, I didn't say golf balls. I said, you've heard what they say about Dolph Lundgren's downstairs stuff, right?
I have no idea what they say about Dolph Lundgren's downstairs stuff, and I really don't want to know what they say about it either.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough. Caden, I'm on the phone. Well, of course Pippin went on the carpet. You didn't walk him today, did you? No, of course you didn't. Why? I was. You're watching the Avengers with your buddies Skylar and Jaden, were you? Yeah, I know. No, you can't hide it from me. I knew that one. And look, hey. I got big news for you, okay? You're 12, all right? And it's time you learn something. These superheroes that you worship. Look, their lives might look super cool, you know, like the ultimate life. But behind the scenes, believe you me, these guys and these chicks, they're in absolute emotional and psychic turmoil. It's true. You think the Hulk is just kicking back when he gets home after doing his superhero stuff? He's dealing with all the little Hulks and all the crap they've gotten into while he's gone. And there's no way those kids aren't wreaking havoc at school, if they even go. I doubt they even go. And I know for a fact that Hulk barely gets by financially because he's always accidentally breaking stuff. Like, he's crushing things. Other people's cars, other people's hands, toilets, you name it. And that all adds up. So you think your heroes have it made, but they really don't. And you can bet your tail that Mrs. Hulk, she's fed up with having to keep buying him new shirts and pants. Yeah, I'm sure it's like, oh, great, you ripped the new clothes I got you at Target. Thanks. Hey. And I'll tell you, there's no way any of these cats, Thor, Black Widow, Captain America, Scarlet Witch, there's no way these guys are keeping regular hours like you and I do. You save an entire city from nuclear devastation. You're going to go back home and watch TV? I don't think so. You're on this massive high, and you're going to want to rage until at least dawn, right? And that's why all of these cats are on Adderall. I'm serious. Quicksilver, I heard he crushes that stuff and he snorts it, just like Orange Goblin. I know there's not an Orange Goblin superhero. I was making a Trump joke, you nitwonk. Where was I last night? I pay the bills in this house, so that's none of your business, okay? But B, if you have to know, I went to see that new flick Late Night at the Newbridge Cinema Brew House. Hey, Tom, have you seen this movie?
What's that?
Have you seen this movie? Late Night, yeah. I think it just came out.
No, I haven't.
It's kind of fun. It's about this late night talk show, and it's been on the skids for like 10 years or so. And it was pretty good. It was hard for me to get past the drums not being mic'd, but I still liked it okay.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah.
So the mics on the stage were not?
Exactly.
I mean, the drums were not mic'd?
Yeah, and they're all crowded together a little bit too much. Like, you can tell that it's a set.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, they're squished together in a way that, like, the Roots and the AG band, they're a great band, aren't.
I never noticed stuff like that. That seems like a pretty that seems like a fringy thing that only a few people would zero in on.
Hey, they call me the nitpicker.
Is that what they call you?
Yeah.
Lance?
They call it, yeah. Guys in my car club. You know what that's from, don't you?
No, I don't.
Guys in my car club call me the cruiser.
I don't know what that's from.
They should call you the dork. Come on. You're in showbiz and you don't know this stuff?
I don't know. I'm not good with movie quotes.
All right, how about this? I figured I would I'd enlist before I got drafted. Son, there ain't no draft no more. And the greatest line in the history of film, of course, follows that.
Which is what?
There was one?
There was a draft? Wait, what line is that? Okay. I'm sorry I didn't memorize Stripes.
You would have gotten it if I had said, oh my God, I wish I was a Lupa.
I would not have gotten it.
Oh my goodness. Well, let's get back to Late Night.
Yeah, this movie you saw.
They did this thing that I don't think I've ever seen in a movie or a TV show ever. There's this whole stand-up comedy thread that runs through it.
Mm-hmm.
Has that been done before?
The idea of focusing in on stand-up comedy as a plot line?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen that before in anything.
Seems super new.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was into it.
Yeah.
What's that?
I've never seen, because it just seems like such a fringy kind of thing to focus on.
Yeah, I agree. What's that, Caden? Oh, Caden wants to know if you saw the Scorsese Dylan documentary. He liked it a lot.
He did? I've heard a lot of people liked it. I have not had a chance to see it.
I thought it was really good, and then I found out that several parts of it are fiction, which
of
I was
the documentary?
Annoyed. Exactly, yes, yeah. And there are reasons why it's fiction, but I was annoyed by it. And until I watched it for like the third time, and there's this one little scene. This is not giving anything away, but the guy that was the promoter of the tour, he's in it, and it shows this page from Variety magazine where it announces what he's doing. And in his credits, one of his credits is J&H Productions.
And that's what is that? That's like a why do I know that name?
So you're also in comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not coming right back to you. J&H
Oh,
production.
It's a prank phone call thing or something, right?
Yes.
That's right.
The greatest show's ever being given.
That's the one that was the, yeah, I know that one.
That's it. Anyway, Caden loves all that prank phone call stuff. Jerky Boys, J&H Productions, Longmont, Potion Castle. He even loves the stuff you and your buddy do.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, although he thinks it's, hey, Caden, what did you say that they were? Oh, second tier at best.
Oh, so that's what he said about us.
He did. Like, everyone's a critic, right?
Yeah, that's the truth. Yeah. Everybody's got an opinion.
I know.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, well, it's nice that he at least knows us, right?
It's true. Yeah, it's true. It's true. You know, I mean, you're in good company, I guess. Caden, no! Stop it.
Hey, what is going on over there, Lance?
Well, Caden's being a total butt to Pippin. Stop it!
Well, what is he doing to Pippin? Like, was he teasing him or hiding his ball?
No, he's wrapping himself around him. Will you stop it?
He's wrapping himself around what do you mean? Caden's hugging the dog? I don't understand why you wouldn't want your son to just hug the dog. That seems like a nice thing.
My son? What are you talking about? Caden is my pet snake.
Wait, what is your pet snake?
Caden.
Caden is your pet snake.
Yeah.
Who you've been yelling at this whole time. You've been yelling at Caden. A snake.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of snake are you talking about?
a python. Why?
I mean, those are pretty dangerous snakes, right? Like, how big is the snake?
12 feet.
12 feet?
Yeah.
Oh, so when you said Caden was 12, that's what you meant?
Yeah.
Not that he's a 12-year-old.
Look, I mean, I have no idea how old he is. He won't tell me. You know, they do serve him at Los Amigos, so he must be at least 21, right?
They serve. Oh, okay, but just let me get one thing. So Pippin, Caden is a snake,
right?
And Pippin is your dog.
Not my dog, Caden's dog.
Okay, this I don't understand. So what you're saying is your pet snake has a pet dog.
Well, you're making it sound weird now. Like I didn't think first before getting a Shih Tzu for my pet python.
So you got a really small dog for a really big snake.
Yeah, they're total pals. Uh-huh.
What's that?
Go. Okay. Pippin.
Who are you yelling at now?
I'm yelling at Pippin to go, and Pippin is now safe in his bed, in his room. So everything's fine. Everything's fine.
Uh huh. Now, where? Yeah. What about Caden?
You know, I don't know where Caden is. He'll be fine. Hey, have you gotten tickets for this Nick Cave tour that's happening? It's like a Q&A thing.
I've heard about it. What is it? It's him on the road or something doing like piano stuff?
Yeah, I think a portion of it is him at the piano and then but part of it is him at the piano and then he takes a bunch of questions, I guess. So it's like a whole night and it sounds like it's going to Oh no!
What is going on over there?
Well, I found Caden, or uh-huh. He found me.
Okay.
Tom, you know how pythons how they kill their prey, right?
What, like by swallowing them?
No, they wrap themselves around. They kind of suffocate them. And
oh,
I've got
okay.
That kind of scenario going right now.
Wait, you're being crushed by your snake?
It's just up to the size right now. I hope I get to ask a question because I would love to know, you know, he started off kind of with Mick Harvey as, you know, kind of the go-to guy early on, Birthday Party, and then Into the Bad Seeds. And then he got, and then Blixa was kind of the foil. And then Mick kind of came back and they had like the, you know, he played, a lot of people don't know this. He plays almost everything on Straight to You. You know, it's from Henry's Dream. Which I think
are you okay?
Like their biggest single. There was a kind of an old song that was a hit, but this was kind of it's like Jeff level now. It's kind of like his biggest hit. But then, like, Mick kind of phased out. And then now Warren Ellis, of course, is then. I'd love to know, like, what are the shape of the songs that he and like, Warren kind of work out in before it gets to the band? Because now it's on Water's Edge. Oh, now it's, like, neck level. Anyway.
Hey, the snake is wrapped around your neck right now.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Skeleton key is.
Lance? Oh, that's not good. Poor Lance. Hey, Jason? Any more calls?
We have one call.
One call, the final call. That's it. And
final
we wrap
call.
It up.
Here it is.
Please put them through.
Line two, you're on.
Hello? Is this not a good call, Jason? What's going on?
Yeah, I don't think. Are you there?
Yeah.
Hey, what's up? Who's this?
This is Austin from Arkansas. I want to talk about Van Morrison.
Yeah, go ahead. What do you want to say about Van Morrison?
Well, I wanted to ask Tom why he doesn't like Van Morrison.
This is Tom right now. You can ask me anything.
Oh, Tom?
Yes.
So what's your deal with Van Morrison? Like, my friend Lee told me that you're not a fan. I'm kind of on a Van Morrison kick. And I was wondering,
good.
What's your problem? Good.
What's my problem? Well, if yeah. I don't like something as much as you do, that's not a problem.
No, it's not a problem. Why don't you like it? I want to know.
It doesn't work. It doesn't hit me the way it hits you.
What do you, I mean, beyond that?
That's it. There's no beyond that. what do you think? Have... There's some secret mystery you're going to unveil here?
Just specifics.
You like Van Morrison more than I do. That's as far as it goes.
Do you like him at all?
Do I what, like him at all?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course I do.
Well, I was hoping you would have a real issue with it.
Well, I don't. I'm so sorry I don't have a problem with something.
That would make it easier.
Now you have a good night. You and your pal go listen to Van Morrison together. Okay? Is he gone?
He's gone.
He's gone. Okay, well, let me say to everyone, thank you, Jason, and then Pat and Mike, and thank you to my guests, James Adomian and Tim Heidecker. Thank you to both of them for coming on the show. And of course, thank you to everybody at Forever Dog for allowing us to do the show from here. I appreciate it so much. We have Brett. Thank you, Brett. Thank you, Chelsea. And Alec, thank you, Alec. I appreciate all of it. And I say goodnight to you. And Jason, will you play something to say goodnight to? Oh, and also go to the show. The Jason Wallner's doing the thing. If you're in Los Angeles, June 20th, Let's Save the Future. It's a good charity, a good benefit. So go to that if you can. And I will talk to you soon. And what are you going to play, Jason?
I'm going to play a track from Tim's album.
Oh, that's great. Please do. The album, once again, is called, I'm going to tell you in 1 second, it's called What the Broken Hearted Do, and it's out now. Came out last week. It's got great reviews, and check it out. Bye, everybody.